Breaking news this hour from Town Hall. I'm Rich Thomason. As oil prices climb, so do prices at the gas pump. The price of Brent crude briefly topped $126 a barrel today, far above its pre-war price, before falling back.
The jump in price comes as stalled U.S.-Iran talks raise doubts over the reopening of the Strait of Hormuz and a permanent end to the war between the U.S., Israel, and Iran. Before the war began in late February, Brent crude was trading at around $70 per barrel. There's no clear path to ending the war, which is in its ninth week. Reports Thursday suggesting a possible escalation by President Trump extinguished hopes for a quick end to the conflict. The U.S. has continued its blockade of Iranian ports, while the Strait of Hormuz is closed, pushing oil prices higher. I'm Karen Shamas.
And a key inflation measure jumped in March. Commerce Department says an inflation gauge, it's closely watched by the Fed, rose 0.7% in March from the month before. Iran's supreme leader says the Islamic Republic will protect its nuclear and missile capabilities. President Trump is insisting Iran give up its quest for nuclear weapons. House lawmakers approve a three-year extension of a U.S. surveillance program, but that's not the final word on the program's fate.
After weeks of infighting in Congress, a large group of Democrats joined most Republicans to pass the bill. The measure adds new oversight, but stops short of requiring a warrant to access Americans' communications. Leaders argue the program is vital to national security, while opponents say it still allows warrantless surveillance. Even with the bill's passage, next steps in the Senate remain uncertain. Greg Clugston, Capitol Hill.
Watching Wall Street ahead of this morning's opening bell, the Dow futures are up 312 points. NASDAQ futures ahead 189, and the S&P futures better by 34 points. More on these stories, townhall.com.
Veterans and active duty service members, when your call to service ends, your mission doesn't have to. Go from GI to IT in just a few months at My Computer Career. Prepare for a high-demand career in cybersecurity, protecting people, systems, and institutions from real cyber threats. Cyber warriors are needed now. Will you answer the call? Go to mycomputercareer.edu/CWP to learn more. That's mycomputercareer.edu/CWP, an Elite CompTIA certification partner. VA education benefits are available to those who qualify.
Progressive knows that boat days can come with unexpected problems.
Dang, I forgot the wakeboard. How am I supposed to enjoy myself without my favorite water activity? I mean, sure, we could still go tubing, fishing, or even just relax on a floaty, but without the wakeboard, what's the point?
If a real problem comes along, your boat's protected 24/7 with Progressive, so you can keep worrying about boater problems. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates, not available in D.C.
Good morning, it's 9:03. I'm Maggie Hunter with the latest headlines from the WCBM Maryland News Center. No charges will be filed against four Baltimore police officers in connection with an investigation in San Francisco, California. The officers were suspended with pay after the investigation began in November. According to the Baltimore Banner, the investigation centered around an alleged sexual assault. The San Francisco District Attorney's Office says investigators determined that evidence in the case was insufficient to file charges, and although police had probable cause, prosecutors did not believe they could meet a higher burden of proof. Baltimore police say an internal investigation is ongoing. And the Community College of Baltimore County has broken ground on a $13 million welding and trade center at its Dundalk campus. The facility will include a welding laboratory, classroom area, virtual reality lab for instruction, and career exploration, and an equipment storage yard. Stein on Sports and the Fox 45 Weather Authority forecast next.
A pension is everything in retirement. A game changer, as they say.
Touchdown!
Why? Because a pension guarantees your income for the rest of your life, no matter what happens or how long you live. All of your bills, all of your monthly expenses covered. That's the difference between people who truly enjoy retirement and those that stress and worry about what's happening in the world. Now, I know what you're thinking. I never worked for the government, and my company never offered me a pension. Well, good news. I'm talking about private pensions called annuities, and anyone over the age of 60 is eligible.
Incredible!
We can quickly and easily tell you exactly what your guaranteed lifetime monthly income will be with just a simple phone call. Imagine the peace of mind that comes with a guaranteed paycheck every single day. single month for the rest of your life.
Mega Win.
Find out your guaranteed lifetime monthly income. There's no obligation. Call Adam Waske, 877-817-2338. That's 877-817-2338.
Now, Gary Stein on sports.
Chris Bassett and Brandon Young will take the hill today for Baltimore as the O's and Astros play two beginning at 12:35. It'll be single admission courtesy of last night's rainout, which didn't wash away the team's inconsistent issue. At 14-15 on the year, still muddling around 500, first baseman Pete Alonso was asked about it.
For the group largely, there's been like a lot of great individual performances, but I think lineup perspective, like not everyone's got going, so
the Birds' high mark this season was 9-7 on April 13th. The low mark was 3-6 on April 5th. The news that the Orioles have placed Trevor Rogers on the shelf means that three of Baltimore's top six starters now are out of the rotation. It's unclear when Rogers began dealing with this illness that has not been disclosed, but his performance has certainly lagged of late. The left-hander with a 9.53 earned run average over his last three starts. Options at center, a big topic of conversation in Owings Mills these days, and around Baltimore for that matter, as the Ravens continue to search for the replacement to two-time Pro Bowler Tyler Linderbaum. Ravens GM Eric DaCosta did not select one in the draft.
Well, you can't make him up. You can't just create a center, Jeff, out of the sky and say, oh, let's take this guy. So, you know, the board has to fall a certain way. A couple guys got picked, right? A couple good players. But there's more available. We do have centers on the roster. There is going to be a competition.
Corey Bullock out of Maryland, Jovan Gwynn, and Danny Pinter are the veterans on the roster. Coming up in 30 minutes, what's going on with Trevor Rogers? And that is Stein on Sports.
I'm Kim Klasick. I want to introduce you to my friend and a great patriot, Rod Wittstadt. Rod is a United States Naval officer and has been practicing law in Maryland for 33 years.
Hi, this is attorney Rod Wittstadt. I charge a flat fee of $525 for a simple will, legal power of attorney, and advanced medical directive. That's $525. When you call me, you get me, not some junior attorney or paralegal.
Call 410-525-WILL. That's 410-525-WILL today to schedule a free consultation.
WCBM News Time 9:07. Here's the forecast from the Fox 45 Weather Authority.
Your Fox 45 forecast. The sunshine is back today. A little breezy with northwesterly winds gusting up to 25 miles an hour with highs in the upper 60s. Mostly clear and chilly tonight. Lows drop back into the low 40s. From the Fox 45 Weather Authority, I'm meteorologist Amy Aronson for Talk Radio 680 WCBM.
56 degrees in Westminster, 55 in Easton, and 57 in Kearney. I'm Maggie Hunter, 680 WCBM News.
Stay connected and informed. Listen to Talk Radio 680 or stream us on your PC, tablet, or phone at WCBM.com. Kim Klasick Live starts now on Talk Radio 680 WCBM and 99.9 FM in Harford County.
All right. Good morning. Good morning. Happy Thursday. Yes, it's Friday Eve. Yes, not the weekend quite yet, but we're getting there. We got lots to talk about on the show today. You know what? I will say traffic wasn't too bad this morning. It was still kind of bad. I don't know. As long as we don't have the Francis Scott Key Bridge up, this is going to continue. And what do you know it? We found out yesterday the contractor is no longer under contract, and we've got nothing when it comes to Francis Scott Key Bridge. And we're going to continue that conversation, believe it or not, at 10:35 a.m. when Delegate Mike Griffith joins us on the phone. He's got some insider information he can relate to us about this deal that's gone south. Also, our columnist friend, Tori Snow, he's got his latest op-ed in the Baltimore Sun. And he's going to join us at 10 o'clock. And we are going to talk about the 10-year-old that stole a car, carjacked a person in Parkville, Maryland, and went for a joyride with a 12-year-old friend. Somehow ended up all the way in Baltimore City. I didn't know 10-year-olds were that great at driving. Brian, the producer? I mean, Parkville to Baltimore City, that's a heck of a drive right there. He ran a lot of stop signs. Yeah, that's a heck of a drive. Anyways, we're going to talk about that. Yes, 10 years old. 10 years old! We're going to talk about that. Also, carjackings are sky high right now. I know they tell you that crime and violence is down, but But carjackings are high. All right, so we'll get to that number as well. Also, I did note the Community Trust Act, you know, that ridiculous bill that Democrats passed in Annapolis that would force basically local police authorities, whether it's the sheriff or the police department, the commissioner, they can now no longer work with their federal partners as in ICE. Well, anyways, I saw where Governor Wes Moore, he signed another 200 bills, right? He's had two bill signing days. And he signed another bill, and believe it or not, he has yet to sign the Community Trust Act. And I thought this was interesting because if you recall, Sheriff Jim DeWeese in Carroll County, he said in an interview that he believed that he was not going to sign the Community Trust Act. Now, I can't remember, and maybe you guys can recall, and we'll talk about this in the 11 o'clock hour if you want to call in, but I can't remember whether or not Governor Wes Moore was really on board with the Community Trust Act. Like, I remember what he was saying about 287G, the ban on 287G, but I can't remember exactly what he said about the Community Trust Act. So anyways, we'll talk about that in the 11 o'clock hour. Governor Wes Moore also made 8 endorsements. Yes, 8 endorsements in the primaries for Democrats, most of them in red districts. So we'll talk about that as well. It looks like Democrats in Maryland, they're gearing up to try to flip a few seats, all right? And I'm mostly talking about in the General Assembly in the Annapolis State House. And so I hope that Republicans are wide awake, but we will talk about that as well, because I want to point out which seats they are in case the MDGOP wants to jump on top of it. And again, these are, they're not like ruby red districts. They're red districts currently, but they are seats that are vulnerable. Okay, so we just got to make sure that we make sure we keep our eyes on it and fight hard in those districts. So we'll talk about that at 11 o'clock hour. Real quick, we got to do some celebrating. It's a celebratory mood this morning. We're excited. We're happy. And I will say not just Republicans, not just independent, excuse me, but Democrats should be celebrating as well, because the Supreme Court, SCOTUS, ruled in favor of the Constitution yesterday. And we got to make sure that we celebrate this properly, because I believe, and I will get to the comments by Barack Obama, our former president, and even by Governor Wes Moore, I believe the Democrat Party, you know, the way that they're trying to hold on, right, to the black community, it's like they're trying to strangle us. And I know people would talk about, you know, being on the plantation. I don't really like, you know, that language. I don't really like to use that language because it's really off-putting to me. And if we're going to court voters from the Democrat Party, especially in the minority community, over to the Republican Party, you know, telling people that they're in chains and they're on a plantation, usually you're trying to attract bees with honey, right? Not with like tar, right? So I don't usually use that language. And this is just because, you know, as someone that's run for office and you're trying to get voters, usually you don't talk to voters like that, right? If you're trying to get their vote. Anyways, that's neither here nor there. I don't think, look, if you use that language, that's fine. I just don't personally use it. But it is clearly, you know, shown by the Democrat Party that is what's happening. And so to win, Democrats are going to have to try to cheat. And that's what they're going to do all the way to November, by the way. They're going to have to try to cheat. Well, this one blew up in their face. And this is what we're most likely going to see in Virginia with that stupid map that they drew down there to give Democrats 10 seats and Republicans only one. We're going to possibly also see this in Maryland. We'll definitely see it in California. You see, there were these states that decided that they were going to draw minority-majority districts. And what that means is they wanted to draw districts based on skin color, based on race. I know you're probably thinking MLK Jr. is rolling in his grave. I believe that is a fact. Okay? And you've got black men in the Democrat Party leading the charge. Yes, Barack Obama, Wes Moore, you name it. Cory Booker, they're all about this. They want to continue to exploit the black community. They're not giving up. And this is why I need to all of my black friends out there, you have got to stand up. You've got to stand up. And I'm not telling you to leave the Democrat Party, but please, you got to tell these people to quit it. Okay? Just because you're black doesn't mean you have to vote Democrat. But that's what they're telling people time and time again. So there was a huge win yesterday. We're going to take a listen to this audio, and then we're going to talk about it.
So this, at first blush here, is a win for the plaintiffs who were not black plaintiffs. They were non-minority voters who challenged this decision. These two districts that were minority-majority, essentially, Louisiana had drawn up districts, and then they were told in a legal battle that they had not represented black and minority voters sufficiently. They went back and drew a second district. So they had two of these minority-majority districts. Well, then non-black voters sued and said, this is now violating our rights on the basis of race. So it looks like this is a 6-3 decision. There is one concurrence here, but it looks like the dissent sticks together with Justices Kagan, Sotomayor, and Jackson. But here's what the majority says. They say, in sum, because the Voting Rights Act did not require Louisiana to create an additional majority-minority district, no compelling interest justified the state's use of race in creating SB 8. That was those two new districts. That map is an unconstitutional gerrymander, and its use would violate the plaintiff's constitutional rights. Now, this opinion is almost 100 pages long, so we're going through to see if it says something more broadly about the Voting Rights Act. That had been the fear on the left, that somehow this decision, if it was favorable for those challenging these maps, that it would somehow do a big chunk out of the Voting Rights Act. Haven't gotten to language that suggests that yet. It sounds like this decision is primarily about what happened in Louisiana. So we'll keep digging through this. But for right now, it's a win for those who were challenging these two minority-majority districts. Now, as we read through this and figure out the broader implications, there were 20-plus districts across the country that would have potentially lined up with this decision. They could be open to challenges that they were drawn on the basis of race, or that it was the primary factor that was used in drawing those districts. Most of those are throughout the South. So we'll look to see if there's enough sweeping language in this particular decision that may have a domino effect on some 20 other districts. Could be huge for the midterms.
All right. Could be huge for the midterms. Okay, so let's go over this, shall we? Let's go over this. So in Louisiana, remember, you've got a Republican governor. We talked about him last week, Jeff Landry, because he's upset about the juvenile crime, and he went off, rightfully so. You know what? That might have been on Monday, actually. I said last week that might have been on Monday. But now you've got the high court ruling, right? And so you've got Louisiana's map being tossed, right? It's going to be void, okay? Because you've got now SCOTUS, 6-3 is the vote. Now, who these three losers are, we're going to get to that after the break, because I don't know which three losers on the Supreme Court voted against the Constitution, but we got to make sure we shame those individuals, okay? We'll leave that right here for now. We'll leave it right here for now. But now you have the situation where they're going to have to redraw their map in Louisiana. And to just kind of put this in perspective, and I'm going to go back here because I saw there was one comment by Betty Johnson that I absolutely loved. And he commented on Barack Obama's comment. And we'll get back to that in just a second here. But I just wanted to note, because I posted a video as I was walking into the studio this morning. And I did. I asked because there was this guy on Facebook, on Fox 45's Facebook page. They posted a video because I did the 10 o'clock news. What night was that? Was that Tuesday night? And we were talking about the crime of violence in Towson. Now, many of you guys know I'm not running for office. Not running for office. All right? Not running. Well, anyways, there was a guy in the comment section, and he was like, oh, here she goes again. Let me guess. She's running for office, and she wants to lose her election again. I said, first and foremost, I'm not running for office, and this would have been a simple Google search. Okay? Very simple. Even a drop by the Maryland Board of Elections website would have told you I'm not on the ballot. All right? Our deadline was back in February. Not on the ballot. But he couldn't do that much, right? He wanted to take this jab at me. And then the people in the comment section that were taking jabs at me, they were black Baltimoreans, okay? All of them. If you want to look at it, Facebook page for Fox 45, you can take a look at the comment section. And so I posted a video this morning on my way into the studio, and I just said, a simple question. Baltimore, what did you win when I lost? Simple question. What did you win when I lost? Because right now, you're looking back at it, that was 6 years ago. What has Congressman Kwesi Nfume done for you since I lost? What did they do for you in Baltimore? What did Mayor Brandon Scott do for you in Baltimore? What have you won? The answer is nothing. You won nothing. You lose, right? Remember that Willy Wonka? You lose. You lose! Because at the same time, I was talking about the job opportunities. You had, you know, Jared Kushner in the Trump administration. We were having meetings in the West Wing with Doc Cheatham and all these people from East Baltimore and West Baltimore. We were there. We were making plans. Bill Pulte was on the line talking about which vacant homes he could possibly flip, even though many of them he can't because they've been unoccupied for decades. He said it's a structural mess. It's a nightmare. I can't do anything with those homes. We were making plans to do something about the crime, the violence, the vacant housing, the career opportunities, and of course with the Department of Education. What did you lose? What did you win when I lost? What did you win? You didn't win anything. He hasn't, and Fumi hasn't done a thing. And so now you've got people all across this country, black brothers, right? Barack Obama and Wes Moore and Cory Booker, they want to draw black communities and black districts only. That's what they want to do. They want to create little Baltimore cities all around the country so they can continue to exploit black voters. And they'll stand up just like they did on the Facebook page comment section. Oh, we can't have a Republican. We can't have a Trump-supporting Republican. You've won nothing by saying that you can't vote Republican. You have won nothing by voting for Democrats your entire lives. What did you win? It doesn't make any sense to me. It's like, dude, look around you. Your kids are going to schools that's not teaching them to read, write, or do basic math. What the hell did you win? The NAACP is out to lunch, right? The National Action Network, whatever Al Sharpton's going on, is out to lunch. Ben Crump, all these people, the ambulance chasers. What did you win? Barack Obama, what is he doing for the community? Besides sitting on Twitter, you know, commenting on things that Donald Trump is doing or not doing. Asking for redistricting. What did you win? What did Barack Obama deliver to you for 8 years? What did you win? So yes, I lost my election. Yes, I did. But you lost much more than I did. You lost much more than I did. And you can't even see it. You're such a clown. You can't even see it. Anyways, we get back. I want to continue going over this because, like I said, Benny Johnson, the comment he made to Barack Obama, I thought was great. Because that is what, you know, that is what's going on here. They are going to continue to exploit the black vote and the black community. Black people are going to continue to vote for them. And then they're going to go to the federal government. They're going to go to taxpayers and say, hey, we need this for underserved communities. We need this because these kids in predominantly black schools and predominantly black neighborhoods, they're not getting what they need. Did you see Governor Wes Moore opt into school choice this time around as it was in the big, beautiful bill? No, you didn't. No, you didn't. If he really cared about the education in these predominantly black neighborhoods where the schools are failing the kids, he would opt for school choice so the parents could send their kids to a different school in a different neighborhood. He didn't do it. Why? Because that's not part of the plan. Educating your child is not part of the plan. Your child becoming successful is not part of the plan for the Democrat Party. Again, what did you win when I lost? We'll get back to this in just a second. If you want to weigh in on the maps, you can do so. 410-WCBM-680, 410-922-6680. I want to ask you, if you're looking to upgrade your home, then you got to go visit my friends at Town Appliance in Owings Mills. You see, their showroom is massive, featuring over 70 top brands. Everything from basics to high-end technology like Whirlpool, JennAir, KitchenAid, and Maytag. Whenever I stop in, Mayor and Mayor make the experience wonderful. They are so knowledgeable and truly happy to help you find exactly what you need. And guess what? Right now is a great time to buy because Town Appliance is officially kicking off their Spring Black Friday shopping event. You're going to take advantage of their flexible financing options and you're going to turn those dream appliances into reality. They are open Sunday through Friday at Owings Mills, so go check out their website, townappliance.com, for more information.
Do you need a new roof? Call Badger at 443-NEW-ROOF. At Badger Contracting, we inspect your roof, give you a free estimate, and work to improve and protect your home. We are a trusted local company that's worked on thousands of roofs, large and small. Call now, get a free estimate, 20% off your new roof, and a free gutter system. Call me, Barry Flax, at 443-NEW-ROOF. For immediate response, call 443-NEW-ROOF. Badger Contracting. Our job is your satisfaction.
Are you stressed because of your IRS back tax bill, the possibility of wage garnishment or property lien? Then call Priority Tax Relief now, 800-314-0045. At Priority Tax, we work directly with the IRS to protect you and your assets. Thousands of our customers have resolved for far less than their original balance. Connect to the IRS for free in minutes. 800-314-0045.
Joe Hartman here, owner of Perry Hall Investment Group. Now is a great time to sell your unwanted property for top dollar with no commissions or fees. Call me today at 410-989-5200. That's 410-989-5200.
The Sean Hannity Show.
For anybody that has ever wanted limited government and more freedom, this is probably the only opportunity that we will have in our lifetime to get rid of waste and fraud and abuse. And they're talking about cutting $2 trillion. I think they're serious as hell, and I think it will happen as long as Republican lawmakers go along with what their recommendations are. Those recommendations are expected on July 4th of 2026.
Sean Hannity, weekdays 3 to 6 on Talk Radio 680 WCBM.
All right, welcome back to the show. Okay, all right, I'll calm down. Spike in my cortisol. I didn't take any blood pressure medication. My mom yelled at me yesterday, by the way. She's asking me, why am I not taking it consistently? Because I don't want to, Ma. I like being all hyped up. I love the adrenaline rush. No. I should take it more often. But beyond that, we're talking about the redistricting. We're talking about the decision at the Supreme Court yesterday in regards to the map in Louisiana. And basically, Barack Obama and friends, what they're trying to do is they're trying to create these little black congressional districts all over the country. That's what they want to do. So they are drawing maps based on race. Okay. Now, all of these people that were upset with Texas doing their redistricting, just so you know, Texas didn't draw their maps based on race. All right, they did redistricting mid-cycle because of the census, and the courts asked them to. But that is lost in translation, right? Now, here we didn't get redistricting done. I think Senator Bill Ferguson is the reason that didn't happen. But here's why so many people in Maryland, like Sally Taylor, running in District 5 in Carroll County, and this is why she was speaking about why we should allow Democrats to do redistricting in Maryland. And I agreed with her, and I think you guys remember that because we talked about it on the show. But I agreed because I knew whatever they were trying to do with our map here in Maryland, I knew that it would be thrown out in court. Okay, and I said this on the live before I came on at 9 o'clock there. Former Governor Larry Hogan, say what you want about the guy. You know, I talk about him all the time. I'm not a fan. But he did end up appointing a lot of judges that are currently on the Maryland courts. You also have President Trump that was able to appoint judges on the Supreme Court. So I knew because of those two things, I knew that whatever map Wes Moore and Senator Angela Alsobrooks and friends, whichever map they put together, it would have been unconstitutional and it would have most likely been thrown out. They were trying to draw Andy Harris out of his district. And the renderings that they had, it was so convoluted, it would have never made it past a judge. And in my view, because of that, that map would have been thrown out, and then we would have had an opportunity to have a true map drawn that wasn't gerrymandered at all, which would have then gave Republicans two seats in the state of Maryland, and possibly in District 3, in that Anne Arundel area, possibly District 3 would have been even more competitive. So there were people like myself and Sally Taylor that was like, please do it. I hope you do it. I hope you accomplish this, Governor Wes Moore, because you're an idiot. Well, anyway, Senator Bill Ferguson, not as dumb as Wes Moore, he said, oh, no. He's a Democrat if you're, you know, not here in Maryland. He said, no, we can't do it because we never got the map that we're using currently. We never got that signed off by a judge. So he knew for a fact it was going to be thrown out. And so now you have this situation where Barack Obama and friends, they're very upset because the Supreme Court's going by the Constitution. Here's what Barack Obama had to say, by the way. I want to read this to you. He said, today's Supreme Court decision effectively guts a key pillar of the Voting Rights Act, freeing state legislators to gerrymander legislative districts to systematically dilute and weaken the voting power of racial minorities, so long as they do it under the guise of partnership rather than explicit racial bias. Now, meanwhile, he's promoting racial bias. Like, that's what he wants. He wants racial bias. Anyways, here's what he said. And it serves as just one more example of how a majority of the current court system seems intent on abandoning its vital role in ensuring equal participation in our democracy and protecting the rights of minority groups against majority overreach. He goes on to say, this is again Barack Obama, the good news is that such setbacks can be overcome, but that will only happen if citizens across the country who cherish our democratic ideals continue to mobilize and vote in record numbers, not just in the upcoming midterms or in high-profile races, but every election at every level. Barack Obama and the DNC have realized that they're about to lose it. Their party is about to be obsolete. The only way that they were going to pick up any seats this November is because they were pushing this whole, you know, drawing maps based on race. They want to draw the maps based on racial bias. That's their side. And the Supreme Court yesterday just said, basically, you cannot do that. So a bunch of white people stood up and said, hey, guys, this isn't fair. We have civil rights, too. And that is correct. You do. This is not fair. This is not what our ancestors fought for. Barack Obama and his dad from Kenya, we don't know him. He doesn't belong here, in my view. I don't know anything about this guy. His ancestors weren't here. They weren't here fighting like my ancestors were. All right, you know what? And that's another thing. I'm not going to talk about that today because a lot of people are going to get upset. But it is on my mind, okay? Same thing with Governor Wes Moore. His ancestors are from Jamaica. They're Caribbean. They're not from here either. Okay? So you got all these black people in these high-profile seats making decisions for some of us that have been here since the very beginning and that built a lot of this country on their backs, and now they want to come in and they want to tell us how things should be for us black Americans that have ancestors that helped build this country. As far as I'm concerned, you can go back to Jamaica, you can go back to Kenya, and I don't care. When we get back, I want to read to you Benny Johnson's comment to Barack Obama. I thought it was pretty good. I'm also going to get to the phone lines if you want to weigh in. 410-WCBM-680, 410-922-6680. It's a great day for the Constitution.
With SRN News, I'm Rich Thomason in Washington. The blockade of Iranian ports will remain until Iran cries uncle and agrees to abandon its pursuit of nuclear weapons. That's the position of President Trump, interviewed by Axios. As oil prices skyrocket, gasoline prices are following suit. AAA's national average for regular gas, $4.30 per gallon. That is up 7 cents from yesterday, 27 cents higher than a week ago. The California average is top $6. Inspired by Democratic redistricting in other states, Florida's Republican-led legislature has passed a new set of GOP-favored congressional lines backed by Governor Ron DeSantis. A bail hearing is on tap today for accused would-be presidential assassin Cole Allen. On Wall Street, the opening bell is sounding. Stocks starting off the day higher. More details, SRNnews.com.
A pension is everything in retirement. A game changer, as they say.
Touchdown!
Why? Because a pension guarantees your income for the rest of your life, no matter what happens or how long you live. All of your bills, all of your monthly expenses covered.
Kabam!
That's the difference between people who truly enjoy retirement and those that stress and worry about what's happening in the world. Now, I know what you're thinking. I never worked for the government, and my company never offered me a pension. Well, good news. I'm talking about private pensions called annuities, and anyone over the age of 60 is eligible.
Incredible!
We can quickly and easily tell you exactly what your guaranteed lifetime monthly income will be with just a simple phone call. Imagine the peace of mind that comes with a guaranteed paycheck every single month for the rest of your life.
Mega win!
Find out your guaranteed lifetime monthly income. There's no obligation. Call Adam Waskey, 877-817-2338. That's 877-817-2338.
Now, Gary Stein on sports. This was Trevor Rogers after his last start against the Red Sox.
It's just, you know, frustrating on my end that I just can't really go deep into games right now and give my team a chance. But, you know, I just got to stay within my process, stay disciplined in what I need to do, and it'll turn around.
But not anytime soon, with the Birds placing Rogers on the injured list yesterday. 15 days with an undisclosed illness, not eligible to return until May 11th. We'll get more clarity perhaps this morning when manager Albernez meets the media before today's doubleheader at Camden Yards. Chris Bassett starting game one at 12:35 and Brandon Young taking the hill in game two. It'll be the second start in a row for Young, who has gotten used to being the proverbial yo-yo of the Orioles pitching staff.
That's life for the position I'm in, but I wouldn't trade it for anything else. I mean, being up here, contributing to a team win up here, I mean, it means the world. It's awesome.
Kate Povich will likely take Rogers' turn tomorrow night against the Yanks. Meanwhile, more and more, the national media recognizing the value of the Ravens' fourth-round pick, Elijah Surratt, wide receiver out of Indiana. Originally from Baltimore, prepped at St. Francis Academy, Surratt's specialty is back shoulder and contested catches. His basketball background a big plus.
Yeah, I love basketball. It was my first sport. I was just playing different sports. Any different sport, I feel like it kind of translates into somehow a different sport. Like soccer, it helps your feet. Basketball, just body movements, body control. I feel like it helps you a lot on the field. And just with the contested catches, with me running routes, just being on balance if someone's trying to push me and stuff like that.
And finally, what does a guy like Matt Hibner actually do after he's drafted by the Ravens? Hibner, the tight end out of Michigan, picked by Baltimore in the fifth round, number 133 overall, was raised in a disciplined environment.
You know, I love to be kind of in a regiment. That's kind of just the way that my whole family was raised. Yeah, my father, he did a great job of instilling that. My mom, too. I mean, she told me all the time just this week, like, well, no one else is going to do it, so I'm going to keep you grounded. Like, I was mowing the lawn yesterday.
Hibner from Burke, Virginia, went to Lake Braddock High School, one of two tight ends selected by the Ravens to replace Isaiah Likely and Charlie Kohler. Coming up in 30 minutes, it's a double dip for the Orioles today. And that is Stein on Sports.
I'm Kim Klasick. I want to introduce you to my friend and a great patriot, Rod Whitstat. Rod is a United States Naval officer and has been practicing law in Maryland for 33 years.
Hey, thanks, Kim. It's attorney Rod Whitstat. You know, I've been advertising with you for some time now, but I want your listeners to know that I can help them with many different legal matters. I advertise here because I want to help your listeners with affordable legal representation. Again, when you call me, you get me.
Call 410-525-WILL. That's 410-525-WILL today to schedule a free consultation.
Your Fox 45 forecast, a drier and brighter day ahead of us. The sunshine is back, little breezy with northwesterly winds at 10 to 15 miles an hour and gusts up to 25. Highs reach the upper 60s. Mostly clear and chilly tonight as lows dip back into the low 40s. Friday comes with increasing clouds and highs in the mid-60s, ahead of a chance for a few showers by Friday evening. From the Fox 45 Weather Authority, I'm meteorologist Amy Aronson for Talk Radio 680 WCBM.
Gary Stein here. If your heating or AC system gives you trouble, you need a company you can count on. That's why I recommend Farnan and Dermer, serving Baltimore for 125 years and one of the few that offer same-day service while others are a week or more out. Plus, take advantage of interest-free financing for up to 60 months on select systems and BGE rebates of up to $3,000 on high-efficiency HVAC systems. Tell them I sent you and get an AC system tune-up for just $99. Call 410-367-7777. That's Farnan and Dermer, the comfort guys. They're my guys.
From Milford Mill to Owings Mills, from Oriole Park to Brooklyn Park, this is the right choice for Maryland.
Talk Radio 680.
About the big decision at the Supreme Court yesterday. Yeah, there were protesters down there, by the way, at the Supreme Court in Washington, D.C. Yeah, 6-3, that was the decision there. We're going to get to the three individuals that voted against the Constitution in just a moment. But before the break, we were talking about Barack Obama's comment. He's very sad, very upset. He's not getting his way. He wants to draw congressional districts based on race. And he's saying it's racial bias to not do such. Like, you can't make this stuff up. And there are people that believe him. That truly are. Well, anyways, Betty Johnson, who created my red dress ad. You guys know the one in Baltimore, walking down the street, red dress, high heels. That was Betty Johnson that gave me the call and says, hey, we got an idea. And Charlie Kirk helped, push everything forward and funded a lot of the initial parts of the video and his whole team coming up. And it turned out to be a great video. Real quick on that note, Spencer Pratt, running for mayor in California, he dropped a campaign ad yesterday. It was very similar. It's really good. Really good. Again, his name is Spencer Pratt, if you want to take a look at it. Anyways, so Barack Obama says, oh, I want racial bias, basically. Here's what Betty Johnson had to say. He says, you want to create congressional ghettos using black people as pawns to rig power for more race communism. He says, if white people were doing the same thing, you would burn those cities down. It's wrong, illegal, and unconstitutional. He says, in a republic, we have a rule of law, not the rule of race. That was Betty Johnson. Okay. And again, he's the one that really scripted my whole red campaign ad. That was me. I was just giving it a go. I was giving it my best, because he's like, look, I put these words together because I've been watching you for a couple months now. And he is really good really good at describing, articulating, I should say, how I feel about a lot of what I see. And that is what they want. They want to create these congressional ghettos. That's what they want. There will be districts in the middle of possibly red states like Louisiana, where you're going to see all, you know, these big, and they call it the majority-minority communities, but you're going to see these big areas where you're going to see crime, violence, poor education, you know, you name it. Whatever you see in Baltimore City, under Congressman Kwesi Enfume, that's what you're going to see all over the country. That's what they want. Luckily, the Supreme Court ruled against that. But this is what they do. They exploit black voters and use them as pawns. That's what they do. But when you try to explain that to the black people that live in these districts, they look at you like you have two heads. Like they can't grasp it. I'm going to go to the phone lines here, 410-WCBM-680, 410-922-6680. I've got Wayne in Ellicott City. Good morning, Wayne. How are you?
Good morning. I'm good. How are you?
I'm doing well. Do you want to weigh in on the Supreme Court decision?
Well, I just want to weigh in on, I've been around for 8 decades, okay, and I've seen how the black person has been exploited by black politicians and white politicians. The average black person probably doesn't listen to your show. I don't know where they get their information from, but if they listen to your show, I don't think we'd have the Democrats in power now. They all vote Democrat. It's just, they're programmed that way. If they see a black man running, they're going to vote for him no matter what.
Yeah, and I think they said before, like, you could run a glass of water with a D by its name, and they'll still vote for it. And it is. It's sad, Wade, but I don't know, because people kept asking me, Kim, how do you win in Baltimore City? You know, as a black woman, you know, you would think that they would even be open-minded. But if you tell them you're a Republican, Wade, they completely shut down. They don't want to hear anything else.
Well, you got to change them. I mean, if all the black people voted Republican in Baltimore City, you wouldn't have Mayor Scott there.
No, and you probably wouldn't have the open-air drug markets. You wouldn't have all the crime and the violence. You wouldn't have juveniles carjacking people. You would have better schools. You would even have school choice. You would have even, you know, more charter schools, I'm sure. You would have clean streets. You would have less rat infestation. You would have, you know, just so much more in general. And that's why a lot of people, Wade, you'll see people moving out of Baltimore City that are a black middle class that could afford to leave. And they're leaving because they just know how bad it is. Yet they keep voting that way.
Yeah. I mean, I work with a couple of black professionals and they are not Democrats. So you have to educate the people and take the color blindness off of their, you know, and stop voting color, you know, I don't know. And that's a hard thing to do.
Yeah. Well, Wade, thank you so much for calling in. I hope you have a great weekend.
You too. Thank you.
Thank you. Yeah. Well, and he's saying that a lot of those black professionals, because once you see it, you can't unsee it. Right? Once you see it, you cannot unsee it. And that's what I find the most. And I think I told you guys, this was years ago. I was at, I was at Bygone. You guys know that that restaurant that's at the top of the Four Seasons there in Harbor East? This was years ago. I was at Bygone. I walked in, and my friend, what is his name? He was in town, and he was having some big event at the Four Seasons. And so the night before, he was having like a small get-together where everybody came in and got to see him and everything, because he's usually traveling. Well, anyways, I walk in, and I said, yeah, I don't usually go to Bygone. I don't usually go downtown. Let me just go by there and say hello. Jack Arnold, actually, is his name. So I go in, and Jack was like, hey, yeah, we're at this table back by the bar. You just got to walk through. So I walk in, and there's like this party, a private party area, you know, even further upstairs. Now, like, we're at the top level, but there's like a VIP. So I walk in and I go back to Jack's table. I say hello to everybody, you know, blase, blase, and then I go to leave, right? I don't hang out long. If you know me, I'm tired by 9:30. Right? Maybe because I'm yelling and, you know, at 9:30 a.m. I'm tired by 9:30 p.m. Well, anyways, I go to leave and this guy comes running down the stairs and he says, hey, Kim, I know you don't know me, but my name is Eric. And I just want to tell you that you shouldn't give up. No matter what people say, you shouldn't give up. I said, excuse me? And he was actually there because Stephanie Rawlings Blake was having some kind of party. That's what was upstairs in the VIP. And he said, I'm a part of the Maryland Democrats, but just know that there's many of us in the black community that understand where you're coming from, and we do agree with you on a lot of these things. We just don't vote Republican. And I remember just looking at him, and I'm thinking, okay, like, you know. But I said, okay, thank you, I appreciate that. And I kept walking, but I was thinking, here you have a guy that's part of the Maryland Democrat establishment. And even he knows that they are terrible for the black community. But you know what? I'm sure he's making pretty good money, whatever he's doing with this, you know, this Democrat Party. And that's another layer of it, right? So think about all the people Mayor Brandon Scott wants to hire in his office, right? Remember they said it was, what, 39 people? He wants to take it to 136 people or something ridiculous. And so he wants to pay those individuals so that they continue to vote Democrat and they continue to make sure everybody around them votes Democrat. That's what he's doing. He's basically buying votes, right? They're buying the black community in a way. But those that don't receive that money, those that don't get those positions in the mayor's office, they get nothing but crumbs. They're going to get a cookout where they can get a backpack for the beginning of school, right? You know those back-to-school cookouts and the backpacks that they give. Meanwhile, when I tell people, I'm like, are you tired of going to the school supply cookout? Do you ever get tired of getting just crumbs? Do you ever just look at, you know, how much money's coming in here from the federal level? Millions upon billions of dollars. And yet the elected leaders, those black elected leaders, they turn around and give you a backpack with pencils and paper in it. And all of that money that they receive, the billions and millions of dollars, all of that money is based on you needing this backpack. And you're like, you try to explain it as simply as possible. And no matter what, it just escapes them. And I told you guys the same thing. Doc Cheatham, I love Doc Cheatham. I was able to go to talk to Doc Cheatham all the time. You know, whenever I could, I stopped by and I would talk to Doc Cheatham. He was always at his park or he was doing stuff in the community. And I was always stopping by just to kind of hear more about West Baltimore and the history and all that good stuff. Well, anyways, you know, I told you, Doc Cheatham, he went with me to the White House one day. And we went into the West Wing. We were meeting with Jerron Smith, who worked for Jared Kushner. And we were trying to figure out what kind of career opportunities we could bring to Baltimore. Now, Doc was there because he wanted to explain to Jerron and others that the West Baltimore area, Matthew Henson, where he is in that old little area, they are drawn, in case you didn't know this, they are drawn outside of the opportunity zones. Remember the opportunity zones? Where you were having businesses receive incentives for opening businesses in those specific areas. Well, the local leaders, this is where this was a failure, the local leaders, the mayor, the councilman, they were able to draw the opportunity zones. They drew the impoverished, underserved communities outside of the opportunity zone lines. Now, why on earth would you do that if those are the areas that need the most opportunities? You know why they did it. We all know why they did it. So Doc Cheatham went with me to the White House to explain what happened. And so, of course, Jerron and everybody else, they were like, well, yeah, that's a problem. No wonder. And at that time, Doc Cheatham was still asking because he wanted a food market, is what he calls a grocery store, in that area that's considered a food desert. And I said, you know what? Come with me to the White House. Let's get you the grocery store that your neighborhood needs. Let's see what we can do. Okay? And I knew that Jared Kushner and friends, they have many people, whether they own Giant, whether they own Safeway, they know the big wigs that would take the chance to open up a grocery store in that neighborhood if Jared Kushner told them, you know what? I'll make sure it'll be all right. So that was the plan. Now, of course, the Trump administration did not win in 2020. I did not win in 2020. But I will just note that the people, many of the people that I brought back and forth to the White House, many of them still voted Democrat. They still voted for Kwesi Mfume. Kwesi Mfume did not meet with them. He did not talk to them. He didn't answer their phone calls. He didn't make any promises. He didn't have a platform. He barely spent any money. All he said is, on sometimes on TV or community meetings, he said, hey, you know me. It's me. It's me, Kwesi. And they voted for him. And that's why I asked this morning, what did you win when I lost? What did you win? It's a shame, but I don't know how you convince that of people. I got my friend Raymond in Rosedale. Raymond, you probably heard what happened at the Supreme Court yesterday. What was your reaction?
I'm excited. I'm glad the Supreme Court did what they did. But the most important thing of all is that these colleges are, and the high schools aren't teaching critical thinking. I was listening to a show yesterday, and it almost turned my stomach on another radio station, and the professor was saying that was a bad ruling that the Supreme Court did, and the only thing they could do was overturn the court and pack the court with nothing but Democrats. And I thought to myself, this is really crazy what they're doing. And it just got to me that these people are thinking that way because they've done nothing for the city, nothing for the state, and people are leaving the state. And there's, and Brandon Scott, of course, is going out of the state to try to bring businesses back to the state. Foreign countries? Who's going to come?
No one's coming.
Businesses who are here aren't even staying here to provide jobs.
Right. Yeah. And anybody with a business mindset, you're right, Raymond. Anybody in, whether it's Asia or what have you, they're not coming. They're not coming at all. That was more of a vanity trip. That was a trip that Wes Moore and friends wanted to take. They always claim they're going to Las Vegas every year. They're going to bring back all these corporations and businesses. That never works out either. Because anybody with a business mindset, they'll look at the numbers. They said, okay, well, these businesses are leaving. Here are the regulations. Here are the taxes. Here are the fees that I'm going to have to pay. And then on top of it, now, Raymond, with this electricity disaster, I mean, just to run, I would think even just the heat or the air conditioning at a restaurant has most likely doubled, if not tripled, in the price.
Oh, yeah, it's ridiculous. And people really have to stop voting for these Democrats because, like one teacher told me once, and I think I mentioned it to you before, years ago, said, you keep voting for this party, you're going to have holes in your pocket. But they don't teach critical thinking in schools, and the colleges don't teach it because it's this Marxist, socialist, democratic movement that's going on in the party. And that's the only way they can probably win.
Yeah.
But we really have to stand up to them and fight this stuff. And it's even in the state government, all over the place, this Marxist stuff.
Yeah, no, you're right, Raymond. Raymond, thank you so much. I hope you have a great weekend.
Oh, you too.
All right, thank you. I got a text here from Esther in Baltimore City. She says, I'll tell you what we've won. We've won more crime, mess, and illiterate children. And we don't need little Baltimore cities. I think one is more than enough. Why are people so blind? I just don't get it. Esther, I don't get it either. Real quick, this is what Governor Wes Moore had to say about the decision to not draw congressional districts based on race. Like, the Constitution absolutely won yesterday. And don't forget, Governor Wes Moore, former Republican, his idol is Frederick Douglass, and he worked under Condoleezza Rice as a White House fellow. This is what he had to say about the constitutional decision that was made at the Supreme Court yesterday. Listen to this. He says, SCOTUS's decision to kneecap the Voting Rights Act is a betrayal of the idea that in America, every vote counts. Their decision will make it easier to discriminate, suppress, and silence voters who have already fought too long and too hard for the right to be heard. Ridiculous. Governor Wes Moore, you should be ashamed of yourself. I know that you aren't. I know that you were not. You're more ashamed of, like, you know, bad lighting in a photo than you are of some of the things that you say. It is the right thing to do. And maybe you don't understand because your family's not from here, possibly. Maybe you don't understand. But because of the Constitution, I am free. Because of the Constitution, I am free, and so are you and your children. And if you want to trample on the Constitution, you want to trample on your freedom, you want to trample on your right to be free, that's on you. But for you to sit up there as a governor of this state and to act as if that is okay. And don't forget where we are in regards to the Mason-Dixon line. Ridiculous. You should be ashamed of yourself. And this goes back to Raymond's point. They don't really teach history anymore. They don't teach critical thinking. They don't teach any of these things. When we get back, I will read some of your text messages. And then we're going to have to get into this story really quickly. Well, you know what? We'll wait till after we speak to Tori Snow at 10 o'clock. And don't forget, we're going to talk about the 10-year-old that carjacked an individual in Parkville and went for a joyride with his 12-year-old friend. And meanwhile, did you guys hear this? the carjacking, they caught up with him yesterday. Apparently, he stole that car on Sunday. He's been joyriding ever since. Stay right there.
Turn up your radio. Here's the Sean Hannity Morning Minute.
The North Carolina Board of Elections identified 34,000 dead people on the state's voter rolls following a comprehensive data comparison with a federal database. 34,000 dead people. Anyway, they submitted 7.3 million voter records to the Federal Systematic Alien Verification Entitlements Database, and that's what they found. I mean, this goes to the heart. Why don't Democrats want voter integrity? Why did they not want the SAVE Act? Why don't they want proof of citizenship? Why don't they want voter ID? Why don't they want signature verification? Why don't they want chain of custody controls for people that send in mail-in ballots? Why don't they want updated voter rolls? Why don't they want partisan observers in every precinct in the country as people vote all day?
Check out the Sean Hannity Radio Show later today, right here.
Talk Radio 680 WCBM.
You know, there's a Jewish woman named Esther that I'd like to tell you about. Now, she lives in Israel, and she is living through days and nights of nonstop fear, sirens sounding, rockets screaming through the sky, long stretches spent in a bomb shelter. She's 84 years old. She's very fragile. She's alone. There's no help, no food deliveries, no medical care, no one knocking at the door. It is a war zone. But because of people like you, Esther is not alone. Now, thanks to the IFCJ, the International Fellowship of Christians and Jews, you are giving them the ability to bring food and humanitarian assistance and helping to meet urgent needs and reminding the Jewish people as they fight for their survival, people like Esther, that they are not forgotten. Now, in these times of fear and uncertainty, your compassion brings great hope and help. Don't wait. You can donate over the phone. 888-488-IFCJ, 888-488-IFCJ, online, it's ifcj.org.
Looking for smart financial insight? Tune into On the Money with Gil Kuda. Hear strategies, market insight, and investment guidance for today's investors. On the Money with Gil Kuda, Saturdays from 1 to 2 p.m. on Talk Radio 680 WCBM.
Hear the news, then talk about it at the top and bottom of every hour throughout the day. Breaking news, stimulating talk, only on Talk Radio 680 WCBM and 99.9 FM in Harford County. The views and opinions you hear on Talk Radio 680 WCBM and WCBM.com are not necessarily those of the owners, management, employees, and advertisers of WCBM.
All right. Don't forget, top of the hour, we're speaking to Tory Snow. He's a columnist over there at the Baltimore Sun. And his latest op-ed is about the Francis Scott Key Bridge. And then at 10:35 a.m., we'll be joined by Delegate Mike Griffith, who's going to give us a little inside information about the contractor that's no longer under contract to rebuild the bridge. I've got Joe in Baltimore. Good morning, Joe.
Good morning, Kim. I know we don't have a lot of time. I have a lot to say, so I'll just make it quick.
Sure.
I want to know, where was this energy when Trump was asking for 5 extra votes in Texas, when he was trying to redraw maps?
Those maps were drawn legally, and if there's any adjustments that need to be changed, the courts are handling it. And so now you have a situation where the courts are handling this whole racial bias redistricting as well, which as they should.
Right, but the intention is to hold on to power, right? And No.
The intention is to draw districts based on race. That's the intention of the Democrat Party today.
Cam, Andy Johnson is talking about if white districts get this, we would burn them down. Let's not forget that has never happened, but the opposite has happened.
You're saying that we have burned districts down based on a race in the past? I don't recall any of that.
Why are you bringing up what our ancestors have done all of a sudden, Cam? Our ancestors did build this country. This is the first time I've heard this from you.
Well, you know what? And that's fine. I don't talk about it a ton. Usually, you know, it is what it is. If you ever watch me online, like in my social media, I talk about it a lot more. But yeah, no, I have talked about the fact that our ancestors built this country and they fought for their right to vote and they would never want to see congressional districts based on race. And the fact that Barack Obama and Wes Moore, that they're pushing this, is just disgusting in my eyes.
I don't think that you should allow Benny Johnson's statement about burning down white communities are running out white districts.
I will allow any comment that is on the right side of the Constitution.
To overshadow the fact that black communities have been fought, burned, and completely erased from the.
You mean
country.
Like 2015 okay. here in Baltimore City after the death of Freddie Gray? Is that what you're talking about?
People died. Your same ancestors that you now invoke those people, they died, okay? But it's in this country, okay, Cam? So, well, next time you
Joe,
bring it up, bring
if
on
you were on the opposite history, side of the Constitution, I want you to really think about that because you would not be free to call me today if the Constitution was not in place. I hope you have a great weekend. Coming up next, Tory Snow. He's got his latest op-ed in the Baltimore Sun, the Francis Scott Key Bridge, another disaster. Joe, I noticed you didn't call about that one, but we'll talk about it coming up next.
Grandma's coming! Grandma's
I know. Ugh, what am I going to do with this house? I don't have the energy this year to listen to her critique my cleaning and how this place looks.
Call Maid Pro!
I'll call Maid Pro. Their 49-point checklist will keep your grandmother quiet and get this place back in shape and up to her standards.
Can we have candy, please?
Oh, God.
Call Maid Pro, 410-529-5960 or maidpro.com because grandma's standards aren't standard.
Looking for the perfect shooting experience? Come to Free State Gun Range, the friendliest gun range in town. Don't forget to ask about our brand new gold and silver memberships. Enjoy unlimited range time, advanced lane reservations, and exclusive discounts on firearms, accessories, and training. Visit us right now and take advantage of our extensive inventory of firearms and accessories. Visit freestategunrange.com or stop by today. Free State Gun Range. Shop, shoot, improve. This is the right choice for Maryland.
Talk Radio 680, WCBN, Baltimore.
Breaking news this hour from Town Hall. I'm Rich Thomason. Fueled by a sharp rise in gas prices, key measure of inflation spiked last month, rising 0.7% from February. The U.S. economy grew at a 2% pace January through March. That's compared to a 0.5% increase in the final quarter of last year. The blockade of Iranian ports will remain until Iran cries uncle and agrees to abandon its pursuit of nuclear weapons. That's the position of President Trump. He was interviewed by Axios. Inspired by Democrat redistricting in other states, Florida's GOP-led legislature has passed a new set of Republican-favored congressional lines advocated by Governor Ron DeSantis.
It's a big victory for Republicans seeking to fast-track a new House map as midterms approach. Florida Republicans already enjoy a 20-8 seat edge in the congressional delegation. The new map would increase that to a 24-4 advantage. Majority Democrats recently pulled off a similar maneuver in Virginia. The Sunshine State represents the last chance for redistricting in the GOP's favor before the midterms. Bob Agner reporting.
The Washington Post reports Louisiana Governor Jeff Landry plans to suspend next month's Louisiana House primaries now that the Supreme Court has struck down a race-based congressional district.
In a key voting rights decision, the court's action could open the door for Republican-led states to eliminate black and Latino electoral districts that tend to favor Democrats. Justice Samuel Alito, writing for the six conservatives, said Louisiana's map is an unconstitutional gerrymander. But Justice Elena Kagan, who wrote in a dissent for the three liberal justices, warned that the consequences are likely to be far-reaching and grave. Greg Clugston, Washington.
A mixed picture on Wall Street at the moment, with the Dow up 441 points, the Nasdaq down 72 points. More on these stories, townhall.com.
You're not just overweight, you're in survival mode. No pill or crash diet's going to fix that. They don't address why your body is storing fat. At PhD Weight Loss, they treat unwanted weight as a symptom, a signal that your metabolism, hormones, and stress response need attention. Fix that, and the weight comes off naturally. Call PhD Weight Loss, mention Mike G, you'll get 2 weeks free, and they'll pay for your food. Call 864-644-1900, 864-644-1900, mention Mike G, or go to myphdweightloss.com.
Sprinkle
cleaning isn't just for your house, it's for your life. If your job is getting old, it's time to clear the clutter and spring into IT. Go to My Computer Career.
My Computer Career helped me get the skills and certifications I needed to start a new life as an IT professional in months, not years.
Earn the certifications that top employers are looking for right now. Visit mycomputercareer.edu and take the free career evaluation to see if it's time to spring into IT. Financial aid is available to those who qualify, including VA benefits.
Good morning. It's 10:03. I'm Maggie Hunter with the latest headlines from the WCBM Maryland News Center. Fox 45 reports that a crash involving two vehicles sent at least two people to the hospital Tuesday morning in Baltimore County. Police said officers responded at about 8:20 a.m. to the 10800 block of Beaver Dam Road for reports of a motor vehicle crash. When officers arrived, they found that the two vehicles had been involved in a collision. Fox 45 reports that a high-stakes reset of the Francis Scott Key Bridge rebuild is raising fresh doubts about when and at what cost the project will be completed after Maryland officials abruptly cut ties with a major contractor and declined to provide details about what went wrong. The decision to drop Kiewit Infrastructure Company from Phase 2 of the multi-billion dollar rebuild marks a critical turning point for a project once touted by Governor Moore as the fastest moving large infrastructure project in the U.S. Stein on Sports and the Fox 45 Weather Authority forecast next.
Man, I love this place. I've been surfing here since I was a kid. Now, seeing my grandson out on the water, it means everything to me. Watching him and taking in the blue waves, the sea breeze, the blurry horizon.
If you have geographic atrophy, or GA, subtle changes in vision could mean it's progressing toward irreversible vision loss. Izervay is proven to slow GA progression and could help preserve your vision for longer, so you may keep seeing the world around you. Izervay, or Avastin Captid Pegol, is an eye injection. Don't take it if you have an infection or active swelling in or around your eye. Izervay can cause eye infection, retinal detachment, or increased risk of wet AMD. Izervay may cause blood in the white of the eye, blurred vision, or a temporary increase in eye pressure. Do not drive or use machinery until vision has recovered after an eye injection or exam. Ask your retina specialist how you can slow your GA with Izervay. To learn more, call 1-855-IZERVAY or go to izervay.com. Paid for by Astellas Pharma.
Now, Gary Stein on sports.
Chris Bassett and Brandon Young will take the hill today for Baltimore as the O's and Astros play two beginning at 12:35. It'll be single admission courtesy of last night's rainout, which didn't wash away the team's inconsistent issue. At 14-15 on the year, still muddling around 500, first baseman Pete Alonso was asked about it.
For the group largely, there's been like a lot of great individual performances, but I think lineup perspective, like not everyone's got going. So
the Birds' high mark this season was 9-7 on April 13th. The low mark was 3-6 on April 5th. The news that the Orioles have placed Trevor Rogers on the shelf means that three of Baltimore's top six starters now are out of the rotation. It's unclear when Rogers began dealing with this illness that has not been disclosed, but his performance has certainly lagged of late. The left-hander with a .953 earned run average over his last three starts. Options at center, a big topic of conversation in Owings Mills these days, and around Baltimore for that matter, as the Ravens continue to search for the replacement to two-time Pro Bowler Tyler Linderbaum. Ravens GM Eric DaCosta did not select one in the draft.
Well, you can't make them up. You can't just create a center, Jeff, out of the sky and say, oh, let's take this guy. So, you know, the board has to fall a certain way. A couple guys got picked, right? A couple good players, but there's more available. We do have centers on the roster. There is going to be a competition.
Corey Bullock out of Maryland, Jovan Gwynn, and Danny Pinter are the veterans on the roster. Coming up in 30 minutes, what's going on with Trevor Rogers? And that is Stein on Sports.
If your home is a bit dated, one of the best things you can do is renovate prior to selling. But how do you pay for it? I'm Sean Holden, owner of Renovation Real Estate. Let Renovation.Real Estate take care of everything for you. We handle the upfront costs, complete the renovations, then list your home for sale. You don't pay for renovations until closing. No gimmicks, just results. Imagine using our money to raise the value of your property without any upfront expense. Call today at 410-724-1199 or visit us at Renovation.Real Estate. We fix it, we sell it, you profit. MHIC 118-795.
WCBM News Time 10:07. Here's the Fox 45 Weather Authority forecast.
Your Fox 45 forecast. The sunshine is back today. A little breezy with northwesterly winds gusting up to 25 miles an hour with highs in the upper 60s. Mostly clear and chilly tonight. Lows drop back into the low 40s. From the Fox 45 Weather Authority, I'm meteorologist Amy Aronson for Talk Radio 680 WCBM.
56 in Boley's Quarters, 58 in Pikesville, and 60 in Joppa Town. I'm Maggie Hunter, 680 WCBM News.
Stay connected and informed.
Everybody, listen carefully.
Download the WCBM 680 mobile app at WCBM.com. Kim Plasek Live starts now. Woo! On Talk Radio 680, WCBM, and 99.9 FM in Harford County.
All right, good morning, good morning. Happy Thursday. All right, a little bit of a spirited conversation in the first hour. We're talking about the Supreme Court ruling and the fact that the Supreme Court did decide to go with the Constitution. Now, it was a 6-3 vote. There were three losers in this equation. And I will. We will talk about that a little bit before we end the show today. Real quick, I forgot to give you the question of the day, and I apologize. It's actually my fault. I started ranting and raving there, and I forgot to do so. But it's brought to you by Renovation Real Estate at WCBM.com. Should parents of criminals be charged when the minor is too young to be held responsible? Yes or no? Again, should parents of criminals be charged when the minor is too young to be held responsible? This question of the day is going to go along with the 11 o'clock hour discussion. And I also have polling results from yesterday's question of the day. And it was, do you trust your local leaders at the county level? 258 people said no. 17 people said yes. I guess I kind of guessed that one. But I do want to know today if you think parents should be held responsible for a juvenile's crime when that juvenile is too young to be charged, like that 10-year-old carjacked an individual in Parkville. Again, we'll get into that at 11 o'clock hour. Right now, though, I'm very excited because on Thursday at 10 a.m., we get to speak to a friend of mine. He has the latest op-ed in the Baltimore Sun in regard to the Francis Scott Key Bridge. We'll get to that in just a second. We played a sound from my friend Tori Snow yesterday because I would not have known Wes Moore was ready to take it off at his next debate if he was not doing so hot. Good morning, Tori Snow. How are you?
Hi, Kimberly.
You didn't know this, Tori, but we played your sound on the show reacting to the comments from Wes Moore when he was sitting down with Bill Maher over the weekend.
Oh, me gagged and sputtering?
Yes.
Because that's literally what I thought when I saw that. I'm like, what is happening right now? I think we're getting to him.
Yeah. Well, meanwhile, Tori, I couldn't really understand. Was he saying, you know, he would go... There was like a bet, right? There was a bet that he wasn't going to win re-election, and all of a sudden it went to him stripping down naked. I couldn't understand what he was doing.
Well, the context is a little more nuanced, right? So the context is that he's passed this executive order that prevents people from betting, using their information to state employees for betting purposes. And that, of course, is referring to the soldier that gave himself a $400,000 performance bonus for capturing Maduro. So he was kind of trying to make this point about what it would take to throw an election. But quite frankly, I mean, if he wants to throw an election, really, he could just keep doing what he does. All he'd need to do is, you know, get a reasonable Republican contender, and the election's already lost. So, yeah.
That is true. That is true. Real quick, before we get into your latest op-ed here, again, we're speaking to Tori Snow. He's got his latest op-ed in the Baltimore Sun. I did want to just get your reaction. SCOTUS made a big decision yesterday.
Yeah.
You know, you've got many people like Barack Obama and Governor Wes Moore. They want congressional districts to be drawn based on race, Tori.
Yeah. It's strange. I thought we weren't supposed to do this. This is the crazy thing. And again, Republicans, again, dropping the ball here because it's a huge opportunity, right? All you would have to say is, do you want Donald Trump to be able to go to Texas or Alabama and say, I want every last district to be white majority? Nobody would want that, right? The Voting Rights Act actually upheld by the Supreme Court because it literally says you cannot use race as a primary function for drawing districts. So the ruling, honestly, if I were someone that wanted to support the Civil Rights Act and wanted to support fair elections, I would say, great job, Supreme Court. This is the right decision.
Right. It always makes me laugh, Tori, when I see people like former President Barack Obama and they forget that white people also have civil rights in this country. Because it's like it never crosses their mind.
We did not agree on that. that.
All right. Well, Tori Snell, you've got your latest op-ed in the Baltimore Sun. It's a good one. Of course, it has to do with the Francis Scott Key Bridge. Tell us all about it.
Yeah, so look, people opened up their phones, found out that the contract was canceled. The phase two part of the contract was canceled, which again, I don't have a problem with that. If they're trying to make the best decision, trying to be fiscally responsible, which I don't believe that for a second, there's not a Democrat in Annapolis that cares about fiscal responsibility. Otherwise, we wouldn't have Kerwin. I digress. But let's just take them at their face value that this is why. My whole point with the op-ed is saying, if this was going to be the case, and it was always going to be the case, why did you have the governor out there saying, no, we're going to build this faster than ever before, and we're doing record speed, and we're doing all of these things, knowing that this was going to be a complicated, very involved endeavor? And again, he really didn't even give any of us a heads up that did that. When most of us are doing work or undergoing projects, there are assumptions we make that you get a contractor, that we have everything laid out, that you decide and then decide to move forward. The state is using a very new, different way of building this bridge. And so I kind of educate people on how they actually went about it and how they got there. And my whole premise is that, look, knowing we were going down this road, we should not have been so forward and getting Marylanders, you know, hopes up that this was going to be done in record time. There were always some risks, and I think that as a Marylander, I would have appreciated knowing those risks instead of just listening to a bunch of rhetoric, how I'm amazing because, you know, we're going to get this bridge done in record time. So that's the whole premise of the op-ed.
Yeah, and if you're just joining us, we're speaking of Tori Snow. His op-ed is titled Optimistic Key Bridge Rebuild Timeline is Suddenly in Doubt. I guess in your view, Tori, when do you think this bridge will actually be erected?
Probably 2031. I mean, it could be 2030. Everything really comes down to what happens in this negotiation process. So the state has to go out and they have to find someone. And again, Kiewit, like this company, they know what they're doing. Like they are the best of the best. Right? Well, you know, from my observation, from my research, they have a very strong reputation. So it will be shocking to me if there are going to be other vendors of the quality of Kiewit that can offer to build this bridge at a lower price point on a faster timeline. Like normally you got to pick three, right? You can get it fast, you can get it quality, or you can get it cheap. So you got to pick two of those. So I think that depending on what this bidding process looks like, it could be an additional, you know, 1 or 2 years. It could be 2032 before we actually see a bridge, which is what I think is most realistic.
Well, we did have a caller yesterday, Tori, talking about the mandates that we have here in the state of Maryland that requires some of these contractors to use companies that have the diversity, equity, and inclusion aspect to it. And mm-hmm. So some people believe that that's going to possibly push that timeline back because now you're looking for such specifics, right? Not only do you need these companies and contractors that can get the job done, but you also need these companies to have, you know, a certain percentage of individuals or even the owner of some of these subcontractors to be a part of that DEI metric.
Yeah, that's possible. Honestly, I'm not overly stressed about that because that's been baked into contracting and projects for a while. This is not new. It goes back a couple decades. So I don't particularly see that as being a pronounced threat. It could, obviously, you do have situations where, you know, if you're working hard to fill a quota, but a lot of times that is normally with like subcontractors and sub-subcontractors. So I personally am not overly stressed about that. I'm aware of it, but it doesn't stress me out.
All right. Well, we're on the opposite sides of that one then, because I don't know. I feel as though when you're dealing with the bridge.
We've been doing this for a long time. I mean, DEI is nothing new.
Yeah,
we've had these metrics for.
But this is a different. This is a little bit of a different build, though, right? This isn't your normal construction project. This is a bridge, and now they're going to use the same renderings, right? Aren't they using the same design?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so now you've got to have those specifics as well. What do they call that? The cable stay bridge, or what is that?
Yeah, look, you know, when you're building a bridge, it's engineering, right? So that's the good thing about it, is it's, at its core, it's engineering. Everything can be measured. And I promise you, not one contractor wants to be, you know, known as the person that built the bridge that collapsed. Like, that's not going to happen. Engineers are very, very good at their job, whether you're black, white, Hispanic, whatever it is, they're good at what they do. So I'm not pressed on that point. I think that that's something that, I trust that the engineers will get the job. I'm more worried about if the government and what they do you know, as far as holding things up. It could impact the timeline. I don't think it will impact the safety of the bridge, though.
All right. Well, I do have a little question here from Marty in the text line. He says, Kim, could you ask Tory, why is no one arguing that the rebuilding of the Key Bridge is a matter of national security? He says the Key Bridge is a vital route needed to get vital supplies during a time of national emergency. And you know what, Tory? I think he's right, because when we were dealing with the COVID pandemic, I remember them utilizing the port a lot. You know, what if something like that were to occur?
Well, that's why the government's paying for it, right? So that's the whole reason the federal government is investing so much into it. What we don't want is we don't want it rushed, right? Because we want it to stay standing up, right? So we want it to be done. We've already established there are alternate methods. Like, it's not like we're completely crippled. It is an important part of infrastructure. But at the end of the day, it will get built. It's just a matter of, you know, is it going to be built with a sense of urgency that is required? I mean, to that point, I mean, do we need the U.S. Department of Transportation to be more involved? They are involved, but that would be the only thing I would say that might push it further in that direction.
Yeah. Well, I did see where you've got Ed Hale Sr. I know he's been talking about the bridge. I think he was down there at the collapse site. What do you think, you know, Tory, this might do for the November elections? I mean, I think there are a lot of people paying attention to
it. Here in Maryland?
Here in Maryland, yeah, for Governor Wes Moore.
Nothing. Come on.
Nothing at all?
Not,
look, no. I hate sitting on 95. That tunnel is a nightmare.
It's not going to matter. I mean, it should, but I don't think it will. I mean, you know, at the end of the day, I need to see evidence that there will be a robust, engaged candidate that can fight Governor Moore on his turf, right? And that's the main issue, is that the charisma factor. I think all of the candidates that are currently, right now, they're sharp. They understand the policy. What's missing is their ability to connect with people. And I need to see more evidence that they'll be able to do that beyond just Republicans. I do know that, you know, there are, you know, I really, really like seeing the work that John Myrick and Brenda Cham are doing. They're out there hustling. They're meeting people, connecting, running across. I respect their hard work, and I personally feel that that ought to be rewarded. But again, when you're talking about independent and the Democrats that you need in order to win them over, I need to see more evidence that there are convincing candidates that can win them over.
Yeah, well, Tory, before I let you go, I was having this conversation the first hour, and it always, like, I always rack my brain, because it's like, you know, what will it take for Black Americans, especially in these Democrat strongholds that aren't thriving, right? The schools are terrible. There aren't any career opportunities. You know, they can't even get the roads, you know, paved. What will it take for those individuals, you think, to vote differently? Because at this point, I think it's going to be more than just messaging, right? We've seen great messaging in the past, and that still hasn't moved the needle.
Yeah, it will be more than messaging, but I do think that the trends are going in a direction that I like. More people are skeptical. They're beginning to raise cane. I mean, Baltimore, more and more people are speaking up, and that's what ultimately it's going to take. It's going to take people, it sounds a little self-serving, but it's going to take people reaching out to you and people reaching out to, you know, myself and Euripsy and other broadcasters that are simply telling the story. And when more people get comfortable telling the story and it begins to get out there, which again, Democrats love to control the narrative, but as those stories go out, you will begin to see these communities start looking for alternatives, and hopefully some of these alternatives will come from within these communities. I am optimistic that probably in the next, you know, 4 to 6 years, we will begin to see more Republicans popping up in some of these urban elections, just because you can only, you know, the disaster can only go so far. And right now, here in Baltimore, you and I both have seen that people are getting really frustrated and they're getting really impatient.
Yeah, well, you know, I was there on opening day when Governor Wes Moore was being booed, and the boos were coming from mouths of all colors, okay? So there were a lot of people that were booing him. I thought that was interesting. Well, Tory Snell, thank you, as always, for joining us. Again, optimistic Key Bridge rebuild timeline is suddenly in doubt. That's his op-ed in the Baltimore Sun. How can they read your op-eds? How can they follow you online?
So again, BaltimoreSun.com/Tory Snow. Get yourself a $1 subscription for 3 months. It really is worth it. There's lots of great information, lots of great stories. Again, if you were part of the Baltimore Sun, you got some early information. I wrote up an op-ed, so be sure to check that out. And then if you want to keep up with myself, your Ripsey Morgan, Free Range Politics, we're on YouTube, Facebook, X, Instagram. And it will always, I mean, look, Kimberly follows our content quite religiously and uses it in the show. So if you like that on a tap, just subscribe to those platforms and we'll definitely keep you updated. Today, we're actually going to be putting some content out about the Supreme Court decision. Your Ipsy has some really great insights on that. So I think people will look forward to seeing that.
Absolutely, Tori. I think plagiarism should be constitutional. And that's what I do. I swipe your stuff all the time.
No swiping, Swiper.
Call me the Fox. Tori Snow, thank you so much. We'll talk to you again on Thursday of next week. Thank you.
Thanks, Kimberly. Take care.
All right. If you guys want to weigh in, you can. Come up next, 410-WCBM-680, 410-922-6680. And also, we're going to talk to Delegate Mike Griffith, because he's going to give us some information that he knows about the Francis Scott Key Bridge.
Hi, Sean Casey, and with me once again, Dr. Melissa Segev, Doctor of Audiology, Audiology Associates, When Silence Is Not Golden. Doctor, great to see you again.
It's good to see you, too.
All right. We hear a lot about tinnitus, tinnitus, which, however you pronounce it.
Yep.
What is it? How do you treat it? When is it dangerous? When is it not?
Yeah. I mean, tinnitus is a phantom sound. I can't hear it. You hear it. And we know it's real. So a lot of patients are always told, oh, you live with it. And it can be really bothersome. It can cause anxiety, depression. People can't function. So we always take it very seriously. And we're all tinnitus trained. So we're all tinnitus certified at our practice. So there's a lot of different methods. But really, the key is to understand why it's there. And for most patients, when we have hearing loss, the brain isn't getting the same stimulation it used to. So it creates it, and it's creating that tinnitus for us. Comparable to someone who loses a foot and they still feel pain in the foot, you know, the brain has to rewire it itself. And so if you have hearing loss, which is usually the most common cause of tinnitus, along with noise exposure, treating the ear with hearing aids are the best treatment options, because almost immediately patients, when they're fit with hearing aids that are prescribed for them and measured appropriately, the tinnitus ceases. It doesn't go away. We never guarantee silence, but it becomes significantly less noticeable. So on a scale of 10, if you're at like a 7, 8 in annoyance, we're going to bring you down to a 2 or 3. And, you know, you'll get so busy during the day, you won't even focus on it. And so over time, what you'll notice is that the tinnitus, there's no cure, because tinnitus is created in the brain, but there are several treatments that are so effective in helping to manage, especially in the past when everyone's been told there's nothing to do about it.
If you're experiencing tinnitus and would need treatment, or if you have a concern about your hearing, then call Audiology Associates When Silence Is Not Golden, 410-944-3100, 410-944-3100, 11 locations in total, 9 in Maryland, 2 in Washington, D.C. That's Audiology Associates. And don't forget their website. It's AAIAudiology.com.
Hey, guys, it's Carson. Thursday on the show, my goodness, what a week. Comey's been indicted. A Fauci associate is indicted. Zohran Mamdani's failing. Racial gerrymandering shut down by the Supreme Court. All we need now is a Jimmy Kimmel firing. We will see. Noon to 3 on WCBM.
All right. Again, thank you, Tori Snow, for joining us. And you can see all his op-eds in the Baltimore Sun, and they're archived there as well. So even though this week is optimistic Key Bridge rebuild timeline is suddenly in doubt, you can see the other op-eds as well. Some of them are a little controversial, and that's why Tori Snow, he and I, we bump heads time to time, because he's more of a libertarian. Right, he's like on this independent situation, and he's not a huge fan of President Trump, and you can see that in his writings. But I love the fact that you can have these conversations with Tory and others, and I guess that's what I was asking Tory. It's like, how do we get to that point with the majority of the black community? You know, and I think he is right in the sense that if you got more people coming up and saying the same things and getting the message out there, which I do see online a lot more. But it's taking so much time. Baltimore could be great by now if they would just vote differently. It looks like I got a friend on the line with me, Delegate Bob Long. Good morning to you.
Good morning, Kim. How are you?
I'm doing well. Doing well. Did you want to weigh in on the Key Bridge situation? I guess we had a contract. Now we don't.
Yes, I do. When the governor was involved with the, when it was originally hit, people have to understand it was done in fabulous time. I mean, it was done in record time, getting the debris out of the channels and stuff. The one big thing that helped him was the Army Corps of Engineers and the Navy. One of the things that I wish that if I had asked for, I would have loved to have seen the Army Corps of Engineers' opinion about rebuilding the bridge, rebuilding the bridge that's there. I believe that was the first intent. That's why the price was down so low. I can't prove it, but, I mean, how do you double it or triple it or whatever? you know, bottom line is we need to stop playing games. Let's get the thing built.
Yeah, and I know, Doug and Bob Long, with your district, there are a lot of people that are impacted by this bridge still being down and in the water. You know what? This conversation, it seemed to me or appeared that it didn't come up in session often. Were the Democrats even, you know, engaged in speaking about what happens next with the bridge?
You know what? It's a good question. Bottom line is we have a governor. That's his job. You know, he should call in whatever experts he needs to get this job done. This is, you know, a critical infrastructure that we need to get fixed, you know, not only for interstate commerce, people from the area. I mean, it was a big catastrophe when that bridge got hit. And, you know, our district has suffered very much. I mean, the roads are being tore up. I mean, the longer commute time from Baltimore to Annapolis is averaged 45 minutes extra time. So here goes all the new carbon footprints that they're trying to eliminate. And, you know, just saying, they need to stop playing. They're using this as a political ploy, whatever. I don't know. But he needs to call in the experts. And if it takes governor, we need to call Governor DeSantis up and see what he did. Look what he did in a short amount of time.
Yeah, and that would show true leadership, I would think, on Wes Moore's part, if he did what you're saying here. Doug and Bob Long, thank you for joining us. Do you have any events or anything coming up you want people to know about?
Nothing right yet. We're just trying to get geared up for the primary. We'll soon have some events right after that. But, you know, I just want people to know we're out here. We don't let things go by easily down here. We're well aware of what the governor's doing with the Key Bridge. It's a shame. It really is.
Yeah, well, Doug and Bob Long, I see your sign right by my house. I pass it every time I go towards Target. I hope that you have a great day or a great weekend. We'll talk soon.
You too. Thank you.
Thank you. Again, that was Delegate Bob Long. And you know what? They were talking about illegal immigration. They were, you know, they were talking about all this nonsense this session. And, you know, stuff like this did take a backseat. It truly did. All right, coming up next, we're going to speak to our friend, Delegate Mike Griffith. I know you're thinking, Kim, we just talked to him on Friday. We did. We talked to him on Friday, but I received some text messages yesterday, and it looks like that he might know a little bit more about why this contractor is no longer under contract, and that's a question. Maybe we can ask Delegate Mike Griffith, you know, some of the things we were just talking to Tori Snow and Bob Long with in regards to maybe having experts come out and assessing this bridge and giving the, you know, the public some answers and see if Governor Wes Moore reacts to that. You never know. Stay right there.
With SRN News, I'm Rich Thomason in Washington. President Trump calls a blockade of Iranian ports foolproof, insisting it will not come to an end until Iran agrees to end its pursuit of nuclear weapons. In a social media post, the president says he's considering cutting the number of U.S. troops in Germany. Inflation heated up last month. Compared with 1 year ago, prices rose 3.5%, the biggest increase in close to 3 years. As expected, Louisiana is postponing next month's House primaries. Follows a Supreme Court ruling that struck down a race-based congressional district as unconstitutional. On Wall Street, stocks are mixed. The Dow Jones Industrial Average is up about 529 points, while the NASDAQ is trading 150 points lower. The S&P 500 index better by a fraction. More details at srnnews.com.
Gil Kuta is a registered representative with Aegis Capital in Timonium, Maryland. His opinions are his own. Please remember that this program is for informational purposes only. Investing involves risk, including loss of principal. Past performance is not indicative of future results. Listen to On the Money every Saturday at 1 with Gil Kuta, where he discusses general finance topics, including retirement, 401ks, IRAs, Social Security retirement, and other important financial matters. For more information, contact Gil Kuta at 410-230-1820. That's 410-230-1820. On the Money with Gil Kuta airs every Saturday at 1 on WCBM. This program is for educational purposes only and is not intended to provide investment advice. Consult your investment advisor before engaging in any securities transactions. On the Money with Gil Kuta, every Saturday at 1 p.m. on WCBM.
Now, Gary Stein on sports.
This was Trevor Rogers after his last start against the Red Sox.
It's just, you know, frustrating on my end that I just can't really go deep into games right now and give my team a chance. But, you know, I just got to stay within my process, stay disciplined in what I need to do, and it'll turn around.
But not anytime soon, with the Birds placing Rogers on the injured list yesterday. 15 days with an undisclosed illness, not eligible to return until May 11th. We'll get more clarity perhaps this morning when manager Albernez meets the media before today's doubleheader at Camden Yards. Chris Bassett starting game one at 12:35, and Brandon Young taking the hill in game two. It'll be the second start in a row for Young, who has gotten used to being the proverbial yo-yo of the Orioles pitching staff.
That's life for the position I'm in, but I wouldn't trade it for anything else. I mean, being up here, contributing to a team win up here, I mean, it means the world. It's awesome.
Cade Povich will likely take Rogers' turn tomorrow night against the Yanks. Meanwhile, more and more, the national media recognizing the value of the Ravens' fourth-round pick, Elijah Surratt, wide receiver out of Indiana. Originally from Baltimore, prepped at St. Francis Academy, Surratt's specialty is back shoulder and contested catches. His basketball background, a big plus.
Yeah, I love basketball. It was my first sport. Just playing different sports. Any different sport, I feel like it kind of translates into somehow a different sport. Like soccer, it helps you feed. Basketball, just body movements, body control. I feel like it helps you a lot on the field. And just with the contested catches, with me running routes, just being on balance if someone's trying to push me and stuff like that.
And finally, what does a guy like Matt Hibner actually do after he's drafted by the Ravens? Hibner, the tight end out of Michigan, picked by Baltimore in the fifth round, number 133 overall, was raised in a disciplined environment.
You know, I love to be kind of in a regiment. That's kind of just the way that my whole family was raised. Yeah, my father, he did a great job of instilling that. And my mom, too. I mean, she told me all the time just this week, like, well, no one else is going to do it, so I'm going to keep you grounded. Like, I was mowing the lawn yesterday.
Hibner from Burke, Virginia, went to Lake Braddock High School, one of two tight ends selected by the Ravens to replace Isaiah Likely and Charlie Kohler. Coming up in 30 minutes, it's a double dip for the Orioles today. And that is Stein on Sports.
Maryland's current political leadership favors tampons in the boys' bathroom. Do you favor tampons in the boys' bathroom? Well, if you don't, maybe you ought to consider voting for me. Go to my website, BernieFlowers.com, and donate the cost of a cup of coffee. Help me change Maryland. I'm Bernie Flowers, and I'm running for Congress in Maryland's 3rd District. Go to my website and donate the cost of a cup of coffee. Help me change Maryland. I'm Bernie Flowers, and I approve this message.
Your Fox 45 forecast, a drier and brighter day ahead of us. The sunshine is back. Little breezy with northwesterly winds at 10 to 15 miles an hour and gusts up to 25. Highs reach the upper 60s. Mostly clear and chilly tonight as lows dip back into the low 40s. Friday comes with increasing clouds and highs in the mid-60s, ahead of a chance for a few showers by Friday evening. From the Fox 45 Weather Authority, I'm meteorologist Amy Aronson for Talk Radio 680 WCBM.
If you've been hurt because someone else was careless, you deserve answers and, of course, compensation. I'm JB the Ouch Guy, and with me, you pay nothing unless we win your case. No upfront fees, no risk, just results. Call 877-OUCH-911 today. Ouch Guy is on your side. Ouch Guy is Yoshua Beer.
There's a new kind of energy at Starbucks. Try the all-new energy refreshers. Strawberry, acai, mango, dragon fruit, or the all-new mango strawberry. New energy refreshers only at Starbucks.
From Dundalk to the boardwalk, from Pikesville to Parkville, this is the right choice for Maryland.
Talk Radio 680 WCBM.
All right, got another great guest on the line. Real quick, I got a text here from Mark. He says, good morning, Kim. It seems Governor Westmore appears to be more interested in traveling out of the state of Maryland and less interested in the Key Bridge. How many places has he traveled outside of Maryland just this month? That's a great question there, Mark. I don't know, but I do. I see him on all these different podcasts, all these different shows, and he's in studio. And a lot of those shows, whether it's Pat Bette David, that was in Florida, and he's got to go down there for that one. Bill Maher's in California. And then that podcast he was on where they posted the clips yesterday, the guy Andrew, I think he's in New York. So, Mark, I don't know, but that's three different states right there just based on the videos that I've seen. So I got to go check out his schedule. Also, real quick, don't forget the question of the day is at WCBM.com. It's also on the app. This question is brought to you by Renovation Real Estate. Should parents of criminals be charged when the minor is too young to be held responsible? Yes or no? That's going to make more sense in the next hour, because we're going to talk about the 10-year-old that carjacked an individual in Parkville and went on a joyride with his 12-year-old friend. All right, so we'll get into all that. Right now, we're going to continue the conversation here about the Francis Scott Key Bridge. Lots going on. I know many of us, you know, we talked to Senator Johnny Ray Sailing on Tuesday. By Wednesday, we found out that the contractor that was under contract was no longer on the job. And, of course, at that point, we were told by the Maryland Department of Transportation, the only thing that contractor had done was phase one. So they came up with the design, and they've been driving piles under the water. And that's really, that's all that's been accomplished after 2 years and some change. And then we find out that the contractor is no longer there. So right now, I've got our friend Delegate Mike Griffith on the line. Good morning, Delegate. How are you?
Good morning, Kim. Thanks for having me.
No, thanks for coming on. We really did enjoy our conversation. We had it with you on Friday. We saw the bills were signed, and it was nice to see the pictures of Kanaya Ward's family there. That must have been a joyous occasion, yes?
It was tough because you saw a lot of the emotion come out of Kanaya's mom and, you know, having to relive the tragedy once again. But it was really rewarding to be able to do something like that and honor Kanaya and the loss there.
Yeah, yeah. And this is, like I said before, this is going to help the foster care system tremendously. And even just a little bit that I know about it because of my dad and others that we worked with my nonprofit, I know that there are many challenges. And, of course, you know, with your story as well. And Doug and Mike Griffith, the big story of this week is the fact that we have a contractor that's no longer under contract, Kiewit, with, you know, the Francis Scott Key Bridge project. Now, Governor Wes Moore did tout that this is the fastest moving large project, something like that, across the country, but we couldn't really see anything being done. And then we find out that phase one was just driving the piles and getting the design going. And so now we're kind of sitting here wondering what happens next. But I saw, you know, a message from you talking about an executive order from Wes Moore that could be also a part of how we're here in this moment.
Well, so let's give credit where credit's due, right? I'm glad the governor came to the decision and realized that this contractor was not the right fit and was not doing the job. And we do need to move this forward as soon as possible to bring those communities across the Pasco back together reduce the pressure on traffic through the tunnels and so forth. But myself and a few of my colleagues in the House Republican Caucus kind of anticipated this happening back in 2023. The governor signed an executive order for PLAs, or project labor agreements. And what it did was it incentivized or prioritized contracts over $20 million to be awarded to companies that were unionized. Now, this obviously hurts 90% of the companies in Maryland and also drives up the cost of these projects with prevailing wage and a few other things. Additionally, there were reports that when this contract was awarded to a Nebraska-based company versus like a Maryland-based company, for example, there were reports that they paid 3.5% higher than the next highest bid as a result of this executive order. So myself and a few of my colleagues put out a letter to the governor back in 2024, asking the governor to make an exemption for Maryland-based companies and actually predicting exactly what happened with this Nebraska-based company. And unfortunately, what we anticipated, it happened precisely the same way we predicted just a couple years ago. So,
well, Doug and Mike Griffith, if I could, why was that executive order necessary in the first place? Do you know?
I have no idea why it was necessary. I thought our process of awarding contracts to companies, specifically Maryland-based companies, was, you know, it's government, so it doesn't work great. But it wasn't, you know, this did not make the process any better. All this did was drive more business and actually trying to compel Maryland companies to unionize, which many companies, you know, can't or just don't have the bandwidth to do so. And I don't think it's government's role to incentivize companies to unionize. Obviously, there's protections in place and labor protections to prevent union busting, but to sign an executive order like this that's going to force companies to make a decision, do I unionize or do I lose out on these contracts? I don't think it was the right move, and now we're seeing the fallout from the Bay Bridge contractor.
This is a very interesting information, because I would think a lot of these smaller companies, as you just mentioned, like the minority-owned companies, many of them are a lot smaller. I would think that they could not really, you know, even consider unionizing, especially as they're trying to build. And so when you're seeing Governor Wes Moore constantly talk about, you know, DEI, and contractors having the diversity, equity, inclusion aspect, and then you hear about this with the unionizing, that doesn't make a whole lot of sense to me, but I know, you know, you're not Governor Moore, so you cannot answer that. I guess, you know, moving forward, how difficult is it going to be to find now another contractor that meets those standards?
I think it's a real challenge. I think, you know, and I don't know this factually, but there's enough information that's in front of us that leads me to reasonably believe the reason they were willing to pay 3.5% higher than the next highest bid was because this company met that the requirements of executive order to prioritize unionized companies. So I do think there needs to be some, either rescinding the executive order or certainly at the very least, you know, prioritize Maryland businesses by exempting Maryland-owned and based companies from that executive order. Because there's no reason we're spending these billions of dollars for a company based out of Nebraska when we have multiple companies here in the state of Maryland that were perfectly able to handle this contract, know how to navigate the permitting process and the regulatory process here in the state of Maryland, and would have certainly made this project go along much, much faster. So, again, it's one of those things where, you know, bureaucracy is causing more problems. And again, government getting in the way of itself in this case.
Yeah, again, we're speaking to Delegate Mike Griffith on the line with us now. Delegate, I do have a text here. It says, you know, this texter says, I don't believe any Maryland-based company is even capable of handling this contract. Do you think that's a possibility?
There's definitely companies in Maryland that are able to handle this contract without question. I certainly don't want to name names because I don't want to look like I'm favoring one company over another. But I know factually there are companies here in Maryland that could have certainly handled this contract. So, I appreciate the texter's remarks. And again, I don't want to put my finger on a scale or anything, but I know for a fact there, and there's even some questions amongst a few of us, why one of those companies or one of those few companies weren't selected over a company from Nebraska. So.
Okay. All right. Well, Delegate Mike Griffith, so are you guys going to be calling or asking for Governor Wes Moore to rescind that executive order immediately, or what happens next? Because it sounds like that it is in the way.
I mean, we're having some conversations about next steps. Like I said, we sent this letter. Again, 20 months ago, we saw this coming, and it played out exactly how we anticipated. And not because we're the smartest folks in the room, just because sometimes things are very self-evident. So we're gonna, you know, we're taking a look at what the possible next steps are to try to, you know, at least make an exemption for our Maryland-based companies.
All right. Well, Doug, and I hope that is able to be accomplished there. Real quick before you go, is there anything you want the listeners to also know?
No, stay vigilant. We got to get this Key Bridge rebuilt. A lot of the bridges around the country that collapsed over the last few years were rebuilt sometimes in, you know, months or just a couple of years. And, I'm very concerned it's taken this long to get as far as we have. So we got to get this thing done.
Yeah, Doug, I think a lot of people are concerned. Well, Doug and Mike Griffiths, thank you so much for tuning in or for joining us and to giving us some of this information, because I don't think many of us saw that executive order go into place. And you would think that, yeah, it's playing a major role when it comes to finding the correct contractor to get this done and get it done quickly. Thank you so much for coming on.
Thank you. Appreciate it.
Thank you. Have a good weekend. All right. That was Delegate Mike Griffith. So there's an executive order in place, and it has been in place. And it takes a unionized contractor when it's a job over $20 million is what it says here. Interesting. Interesting. And again, that flies in the face. Yeah, this is me just thinking out loud because I'm learning this information, obviously, on the spot. But it flies in the face of the whole DEI, you know, conversation. It really does. It really does, because a lot of these contractors or even these small businesses, right, minority-owned businesses, a lot of them are considered small business. I can't imagine them trying to put together a union. Wow. This is, you know, it's disheartening because you just know this is not going to be up by 2030. And at this point, I saw a text came in. They think it's going to be this is going to cost $10 billion now. At this point, I don't think it's going to cost less than $5 billion either. I really don't. And as time continues to go by, I just don't see it happening. I hope that I'm wrong. I hope that I'm wrong because this impacts, it really impacts my life. You guys know I'm over there at Middle River. So back and forth to D.C., it's a nightmare. It is. And you make adjustments based on the nightmare that's on the road. And so I'm working less. I am less productive and making less money because of the, you know, what I'm dealing with at the tunnels. Ugh. Go to the phone lines. If you want to weigh in on what you just heard, you absolutely can. It's 410-WCBM-680, 410-922-6680. I've got Jeff in Phoenix. Hey, Jeff.
Tim, here we go again. Good morning. Great show as usual. I am Jeff McDonald. I am running for delegate in 42B. If you believe in what I say, jeffkmcdonald.com, jeffkmcdonald.com. A couple of things, if I may. What better than to have a contractor, as the delegate just said, who is well aware of the navigable waters within the Chesapeake Bay and the Patapsco River, and the fact that we live in Delmarva, all of which has plenty of navigable waters, which with which contractors work on every single day. I'm not looking at a map, but I think I do remember that Nebraska is in the middle of the bloody country. The other thing is to the governor of Maryland, who seems to be in every other state of the union than Maryland, this again reverts back to why we must stop electing people who have zero private sector experience. This is a contract for one of the most used East Coast corridors. We are a major transportation state regarding trucking. You cannot take hazmat through the tunnel, which means what? If they're coming through the state, on that side of the state, they must go around 695, i.e. causing more congestion. This is insane. And again, the governor is everywhere but within the state of Maryland. And here we go once again, the hardworking, law-abiding, tax-paying citizens who try to navigate their way around Maryland, as you just alluded, are forced into total inconvenience because everything that bloody man does with that stupid smile on his face is a quid pro quo for no one else but himself. Real quick. I know you got to go. The morning show, Kristen on the morning show did a wonderful thing. Obviously, you guys get the governor's schedule every day, and every day she read his schedule for today. Is he at his desk working through the solutions for the Key Bridge? No, he's in Miami. Kim, jeffkmcdonald.com, jeffkmcdonald.com. I know you're up against the break. As always, thank you so much for your time, and keep fighting, my friend.
Well, Jeff, thank you so much. We got to get you here in studio so we can do an hour and talk about your race in your district. Thank you so much for calling in. Great points.
Thank you. I would love to.
Thank you. All right. That's Jeff in Phoenix, Jeff McDonald. And you know what? And I missed that. I didn't hear where Kristen was going over the schedule. That's what we were just talking about. Because the podcast, like I said, California for Bill Maher, PBD, right? Patrick Bet David. He was on PBD podcast yesterday. That's down there in Florida. And then the clip they dropped yesterday, that podcast, I believe, is filmed in New York City. And I believe his name is Andrew. I got to go back and see what his last name is. But so if we heard today from Jeff and Kristen pointed it out, you know, he's in Miami. The governor does not care about the state of Maryland. How we are going to convey that to the voters that don't pay attention, that's going to be the challenge. That's the big key right there. Governor Wes Moore has no business winning re-election. And, we had Tory Snow on, and he was said, yeah, I wish it mattered, but I feel like it doesn't. A lot of people feel that way, but we got to make sure that we are remaining optimistic, and we got to make sure that we're not being, kind of like a Debbie Downer on the situation. Because at the end of the day, Wes Moore is a terrible executive. He's worse than O'Malley. I think he's the worst executive Maryland has ever seen. I think Kathy doesn't want her Clausmeyer. She doesn't say anything or she doesn't do anything, but she's still better than Governor Wes Moore because he's making things that much worse. Think about that. Kathy doesn't want to work Clausmeyer. The Boulder County executive is a better executive than Wes Moore because at least she's missing an action. Every action the governor takes is a terrible one. We'll discuss more when we get back.
I'm Kim Klasick. I want to introduce you to my friend and a great patriot, Rod Wittstadt. Rod is a United States Naval officer and has been practicing law in Maryland for 33 years.
Hi, this is attorney Rod Wittstadt. I charge a flat fee of $525 for a simple will, legal power of attorney, and advanced medical directive. That's $525. When you call me, you get me, not some junior attorney or paralegal.
Call 410-525-WILL. That's 410-525-WILL today to schedule a free consultation.
Hi, Dr. Lairfield here. If you're dealing with missing teeth or loose dentures, we can help at the Smile Design Center. You'll walk out feeling confident, comfortable, and looking great. Call me at the Smile Design Center now for a free consultation at 410-321-1100.
WCBM reaches all types of entrepreneurs, businesses, associations, and specialists. Now is your chance to explain live, by the way of your own radio show, exactly how your business or association can benefit the WCBM listener through your own show. You control the dialogue. You control the subject matter. You control your own results. This is a great opportunity that WCBM can give to you. For more information, call Andy Grimshaw or visit WCBM.com. Previously on Casey and Company.
Now, we all heard it. We heard the boos. We saw a reaction to the boos. So you can pretend it didn't happen, Governor, but we heard it. We saw it. And now there's evidence. There's polling data that indicate you're not one of the most popular governors in the country. Your popularity has been slipping. Frankly, shocked it's as high as 48% approval.
Start your morning with Maryland's wake-up call. Casey and Company. Weekday mornings at 6 on Talk Radio 680. WCBM. Stay connected and informed with the latest news at the top of every hour. Then talk about it.
Wouldn't you like a little excitement for a change?
On Talk Radio 680 WCBM and WCBM.com.
All right. Thanks again, Jeff, for calling in. And I also want to thank Delegate Mike Griffith and Tory Snow. We were just talking about the Francis Scott Key Bridge and what a disaster this has all been. But the government has rules and regulations and executive orders in place. It's going to make this rebuild even harder. And we, the taxpayers, of course, we're on the hook for all of this. And even though they talk about, I love how, Governor Moore and others, they talk about, oh, yes, the federal government's going to pay for it. It's still our tax dollars. Right? That's how the federal government generates revenue, is from us. So again, it's us. And they try to spin it like it's somebody else paying the bill. It's crazy. Anyways, I just wanted to mention before I go to the phone lines here, there's an article in the Baltimore Sun laying out why Maryland residents are now moving to Delaware. Apparently, there are many looking just for the tax relief. And so people are saying, look, I can still visit my family just fine in Maryland, even if I have grandkids. And so they would rather live in Delaware and in some cases in Pennsylvania, because at least it's not here in Governor Wes Moore's Maryland. I got Gene and Glen Burnie. Gene, did you want to weigh in?
Yes, ma'am, about the bridge. President Trump does have a steel plant online and making steel the first time ever. And I don't know why we just can't get our steel from the United States. And let's repair the old bridge first and then maybe slowly build the other one. Let's just get everything running back up and get the roads opened. And the second thing I wanted to say, these kids that are stealing these cars, maybe we shouldn't make their parents pay for this thing. I think you should just cut off all their food stamps, their welfare, their Section 8, whatever you have to cut off to get them to maybe pay attention to their kids.
Yeah, no, I would definitely would love to cut off those government-assisted programs. But I will say some of these parents might not be on the assisted programs, and they definitely should have to pay for their child being completely out of control and menacing to society, for sure.
Okie dokie, have a shout-out to Scooby-Doo.
Yeah, I'll let Olivia know. Thank you so much, Gene. I hope you have a great weekend.
You too.
Thank you. Yeah, don't forget, poor parenting. I mean, that... You know, they could be middle-class family and still be, you know, terrible parents. And so, yes, I do agree cutting off the government assistance if your kid is in and out of the system. I don't know why we don't do that anyway. I do know why. Democrats won't do that. They need kickbacks off of those assistance programs. But at the same time, that is going to the question of the day, in case you missed it. It's at WCBM.com. We're going to get into this in the next hour. But I want to know, you know, should parents of criminals be charged when the minor is too young to be held responsible? That's brought to you by Renovation Real Estate. Now, yesterday, in case you didn't hear the results of yesterday's poll, remember it was asking if you trust your county leaders. The majority said, no, you do not trust your county leaders. And I think it was like maybe 3 or 4% of you say that you did trust your county leaders. I would think that, you know, it probably depends on which county you live in. Right. There are some counties, I think, that are being run just fine. Those are red counties. And there's some counties that are not being run just fine. All right. Coming up next, a 10-year-old crashes a car in Baltimore with his 12-year-old friend. And they didn't just buy that car. Their parents didn't give them the car. They didn't take the keys and just run off with the car. They carjacked somebody. A 10-year-old. Stay right there.
Now here's Maryland Delegate Nino Mangione with the Maryland Minute.
The 26th session was a failure for Maryland. Thanks to Democrats, our state is less safe, less affordable, and less accountable. A record $71 billion budget, nearly $4 billion higher than last year, was built on accounting gimmicks and short-term fixes that ignore Maryland's structural deficit. There was no real effort to control spending, and the result is predictable. Higher taxes ahead and more pressure on working families. Democrats also blocked allowing the Baltimore County Inspector General to investigate waste, fraud, and abuse in the school system. On public safety, the new policies weaken accountability for violent juveniles and strain an already overwhelmed juvenile system. Other bad laws restrict cooperation between law enforcement and ICE, removing tools used to detain dangerous illegal immigrants. At the same time, new statewide mandates add burdens on police. This session sends the wrong message: less support for law enforcement, less fiscal discipline, and less focus on basic public safety and common sense.
This is the right choice for Maryland.
Talk Radio 680 WCBN.
They're pushing their primary back. It's supposed to be, I guess, next week. Tuesday. And now that they've won this in the Supreme Court, he's completely pushing it back so they can redraw the districts. So that will get interesting down there in Louisiana. Louisiana is going to deliver more Republicans. I don't know if Alabama has time. I got to check it out. I know Georgia cannot. They already started their early voting, so they can't do it this time around. But they should be able to do redistricting next time around. I did want to mention to you guys, because this was just breaking on Capitol Hill, in case you missed it, Congressman Jamie Raskin, you know, he's in District 8. He has been ordered to repay the federal government $304,000 he took from the illegal student loan debt relief program for his daughter's tuition to Stanford. Mr. Raskin knew the program would be shot down. And this district judge, Joseph Barron, said he pushed this application through using his position. So in Raskin's defense, the program was perfectly legal when he took the money. But apparently this judge is ordering him to take it to pay it back. Now, the judge also noted that Raskin's, did you know this, Brian, the producer? Jamie Raskin's in District 8 is worth $14 million. $14 million. Look, it's a good gig if you can get it. He's a hard worker, this Raskin. This rascal. All right. It shouldn't have qualified in the first place. So the judge was saying he shouldn't even have qualified because of his $14 million net worth. And they're saying there's grounds for a criminal case here. if the courts ever saw one. That was the comment from the judge on this. Anyways, that was just breaking on Capitol Hill. I'll look further into that. I did want to reach out to his Republican opponent and see if she'll come on the show. Cheryl ran against Jamie Raskin's previously. And you know what? She hasn't given up. That's a tough district. It's got such a large swath of Montgomery County. That's a tough district. A district like that, like Baltimore City was tough for sure. But when you're dealing with Montgomery County, like you can't even have a conversation. Those people won't even have a conversation with you. In Baltimore City, you can knock on a door and they're going to answer the door and they're going to probably push back and say, no, Republicans are racist. In Montgomery County, I mean, you just get the craziest of the crazies. And they've got the blue hair, and they're screaming at you, and, you know, telling you you're not black enough. Meanwhile, they're white, right? It's an all-out showdown. Montgomery County is a different breed, man. It really, truly, I don't know how people live there. That's, you know, not that progressive. Anyways, I do want to talk about this latest story out of Baltimore here. A 10-year-old decides to go on a joyride in a stolen car. And I want to get into this discussion with you. So write down the number, 410-WCBM680, 410-922-6680. Let's go ahead and take a listen to the details, and then we'll discuss.
10-year-old driver, a 12-year-old passenger. They were both inside that stolen vehicle, driving it, and then eventually crashing it about a half mile from where the deputies say they first saw them, here in the Barkley neighborhood at the intersection behind me. They say after that crash happened, both boys got out of the car and attempted to run.
One of the little boys was put into the back of the police car. The other little boy ran through the alley right here.
This neighbor, wishing to remain anonymous, telling us what she saw after hearing a loud crash outside of her Barkley home around 7:15 Wednesday morning.
When I think about it, where was the parent at this time in the morning?
She's talking about a 10-year-old boy who Baltimore City Sheriff Sam Cogan says was arrested by his deputies in East Baltimore Wednesday morning. He says the 10-year-old was behind the wheel of a stolen car and in the passenger seat, a 12-year-old boy.
They saw a car go by, and what they described, they said it was like a little bobblehead. There was like a little, like, top of a child's head.
After that, the sheriff says his deputies turned their cruiser around by East Federal Street and Barkley and flashed their lights, attempting to pull over the Hyundai Elantra, but the car took off. He says deputies didn't chase the car, but they did keep up with it until it crashed about a half a mile away by East 23rd and Barkley Streets. That's when deputies say the two boys inside got out and began to run. The 12-year-old passenger got away, but the 10-year-old driver was taken into police custody.
They crashed the car. They were going through stop signs. You know, someone could be they could be seriously injured or could seriously hurt somebody. So it's just one of these things where it's like unacceptable.
The sheriff says the car was stolen out of Parkville over the weekend, but they're still working to learn who exactly stole the vehicle. As for the 10-year-old, he was released back to a guardian. The sheriff says it looks like the state's attorney's office is not going to be pressing charges due to his age. Meanwhile, some neighbors, like the one who heard the crash, say they're not surprised.
These children are out of control.
And I did reach out to the state's attorney's office for comment regarding the charges. I have yet to hear back. The sheriff tells me, though, his office will be filing a child in need of assistance for him. And he tells me he will be keeping up with the case wherever it may go. Live from East Baltimore tonight, I'm Tori Yorgi, TV 11 News.
That case ain't going anywhere, right? It's not going anywhere, Sheriff Sam Cogan, who likes to march in the LGBTQ parades with the, you know, the police or the sheriff cruisers that are always have the rainbows wrapped around it. Yeah, he's another one. Sam Cogan is another one, okay? So now you have a situation where a 10-year-old and a 12-year-old, they carjack an individual in Parkville, end up crashing the car in Baltimore City. There won't be any charges. The prosecutor can't even, he throws his hands up in the air because nothing will happen. They return the kids back to their parents who allowed them to do this in the first place. What do you think these kids learned? They learned they could do it again and get away with it. That's what they learned. This is nonsense. In what world do you allow a 10-year-old to run free and carjack people and can do it over and over and over again? This is why the question of the day is what it is. Don't forget to go to WCBM.com. Should parents of criminals be charged when the minor is too young to be held responsible? When we get back, we're going to continue to talk about this because, of course, this also implies the Child Interrogation Act and the fact that that doesn't work, or I should say it works against the prosecutors as well. Right now, I do have my friend on the line, JB, the Ouch Guy from the Platinum Law Group. Good morning, JB. We've got a lot going on. We got 10-year-olds, carjacking people. We've got this summer to winter roller coaster weather. What's going on with you?
Not much. It's a wild time in Baltimore. Between the weather and the 10-year-old carjacking cars, I couldn't believe it.
I know. JB, it is. It's wild. This is some of the stuff that we have to talk about here. But I did have a question for you. I've heard on traffic reports about multiple cars in an accident. So what would someone do if they're in the middle of a multiple car accident, especially when it's not their fault?
That's a decent question. So it's not any different than what you would normally do in a car accident. Obviously, you stop, you call the cops, you document everything. It's a little bit different because you might be in the center of two different cars on either side. Obviously, three-car accidents are sometimes more complicated than that. Three, four, sometimes it's even more than that. But ultimately, you're going to do very similar things to what you would normally do, which is call 911, document everything with pictures and all sorts of documentation that you can. And then, of course, call your attorney at 877-OUCH-911 right away.
Yeah, I will say real quick, JB, coming to work earlier this week, I think it might have been Monday, I was on 695. There were four cars, piled up, and it was so scary because the mother jumped out of the car, and her kids were in the back seat, and apparently, I guess maybe they got scared because they saw the mom jump out of the car and she went over to the guardrail. Well, they jumped out of the car too, but on the opposite side where the traffic was still going by. And luckily, there was a guy in a pickup truck. I actually posted it on my Instagram stories. There was a guy in a pickup truck that actually saw the little boy in time and hit the brakes. But that could have been a huge disaster. Real quick, JB, you might not know the correct answer to this. If there's a car pileup like that, is it best to stay in the car, or should people get out and just move to the side?
So I can't answer that question because every single case is different.
Oh, I see.
The most important thing you have to do is stay safe. Sometimes staying safe means staying right there in your car. Sometimes staying safe means getting out of the car, moving over to the side of the road, until your car can be moved. It's really a case-by-case basis. Most people, use your discretion. Stay safe. That's the most important thing. Stay safe, stay healthy.
All right. Well, JB, the Ouch Guy, before you go, how can people contact you?
Oh, of course. Thanks. It's 877-OUCH-911, 877-682-4911. Easy to remember. OUCH-911.
All right, JB. We'll talk soon. Thank you.
All right, Kim. Talk to you. Bye-bye.
Hi, this is Scott Jennings. You've seen me battle the left on CNN for years, and now you can hear me every weeknight at 9 as I continue to slay the liberal narratives. Join me for unmatched political insight, high-impact interviews, and sharp-witted commentary that cuts through the noise. It's my job to arm you with common sense and shape the national conversation. Don't miss the Scott Jennings Show weeknights at 9, Talk Radio 680 WCBM and 99.9 FM in Harford County.
Retirement, it's almost here. Are you ready? Join Mike DePaula and Sarah Flora of Flora and DePaula Wealth Partners for SWAT, Retirement Strategy Hour. Saturday is at 2 on Talk Radio 680 WCBM. Investment advisory services made available through AE Wealth Management LLC, a registered investment advisor.
All right. Our text here says, don't worry, kid. The 10-year-old was just driving his 12-year-old friend to school. Or maybe to his next squeegee job. Yeah, Texter, that could have been the case. In case you're just joining us, a 10-year-old driver arrested after crashing a stolen car with a 12-year-old passenger. They stole the car in Parkville and ended up in Baltimore City. We don't know where the kids are actually from, okay? But not only that, if you heard, Sheriff Kogan wanted to know who actually stole the car. As if it matters, right? It doesn't even matter. A 10-year-old and a 12-year-old. It doesn't matter. But they wanted to know who stole the car, but they couldn't get the answer. Why? Because of the Child Interrogation Act. Yes. Because of the Juvenile Justice Reform Act, because of people like Senator Jill Carter and others that thought it was a great idea that a juvenile couldn't be questioned by whether it's a police officer or a prosecutor or who names it, because they're just minors, don't you know? They could steal your car from you, but God forbid you ask them who, what, when, where, why. You can't do that. And even if a parent is there with the 10-year-old and the parent says, you know what, you go ahead and you answer the sheriff's questions, that public defender or that lawyer or whoever else is there for that kid, guess what? They could tell the parent, no, actually, you be quiet, and this kid's not answering a thing. And so this is why the prosecutors, I mean, look, and she even said, that was Channel 11 that had the story. She even said, yeah, we reached out to the state's attorney's office to find out more because they're not going to prosecute or take this to court because he knows he can't. Okay, state's attorney Ivan Bates cannot take it to court. Even if they went through Scott Schellenberger, you know, there in Parkville, he can't take this to court. They can't even ask these kids any questions. It could be the 12-year-old. It could be the 10-year-old. We don't know. We have no idea who stole the car, and we will never know. We won't know even what's going on. Well, anyways, beyond that, I wanted to just take a listen because carjackings, right? We're told that crime is down, but carjackings are not. Take a listen.
These numbers, they're really alarming for anyone, but for the two women that I spoke with this evening, they're also personal. Both of them speaking out, saying what they experienced is exactly why they're not surprised to see teen carjackings on the rise.
Earlier this year, Fox 45's cameras there as police placed three juveniles in handcuffs, two 15-year-olds and a 14-year-old, charged in an armed carjacking in East Baltimore, with previous arrests including robbery, a handgun violation, and auto theft. It was far from a first offense and far from an isolated incident. New data from Baltimore police showing carjackings up 142% this year. 17 so far, compared to just 7 this time last year.
It's sad. It makes me really sad.
For some, those numbers hitting close to home.
It makes you feel like what happened to you didn't even matter at all.
Julie, who out of fear for her safety, asked we not share her full name or show her face, was attacked and robbed by teenagers just beside Patterson Park in 2023. A 12 and 15-year-old caught on surveillance camera, tackling her to the ground, then running off with her keys. The only thing stopping them from stealing her car, the boys unable to drive a stick shift.
I was bruised up for a couple weeks. I had a headache for like 2 days. I had bruises on my hip and my wrist. It was a pretty hard slam.
While she's recovered physically, Julie saying emotionally, she's still scarred.
If someone comes up behind me or just runs around a corner, I hate it, but it just startles me.
And yet, she claims the consequences delivered in court were fleeting, limited to community service and an apology letter, which she says she never received.
And there you have it. So nothing will happen. Carjackings are up 142%. Now, believe it or not, car thefts are down 29%. So basically, these young juveniles, they want to be able to take the car right from in front of you. They basically want to order you out of the car at gunpoint or throw you on the ground and take the car from you that way. They don't want to just take the car out of your driveway. No, that's not what they want. They want to carjack you. That's what they want. Coming up next, I got some people that want to weigh in. I'm glad that you do. 410-WCBM-680, 410-922-6680. That's right. A 10-year-old was caught in a car that he stole in Parkville along with his 12-year-old friend, and they were just delivered back home as if nothing ever happened. Stay right there.
With SRN News, I'm Rich Thomason in Washington. A veteran U.S. Senator, Iowa Republican Chuck Grassley, has met with the head of the Secret Service discussing last weekend's security incident, the White House Correspondents' Dinner. President Trump not ruling out a resumption of military strikes on Iran as the Iranian leadership refuses to let go of its nuclear ambitions. Louisiana postponing next month's House primaries. It follows a Supreme Court ruling that struck down a race-based congressional district as unconstitutional. Inflation made a comeback last month. Compared with a year ago, prices up 3.5% was the biggest increase in almost 3 years. On Wall Street, stocks in positive territory. The Dow is up 634 points, gain of more than 1%. The Nasdaq ahead 43, and the S&P is up 32 points. More details, srnnews.com.
This is Pastor David Lewis with today's Moment of Truth. Without a fair media in America, our nation is doomed. You might say we haven't had a fair media in this country since before the Kennedy-Nixon debates. That in itself is debatable, but with the plethora of alternative media available today, you can usually find a reliable source if you search long and hard enough. Fox used to be reliable. They told the world they were fair and balanced, but I'm not so sure anymore. Journalists, like baseball umpires, are not supposed to be the main attraction. It's not about them. Yet too many pundits have sold out to an ideological agenda, making them part of the problem when they should be part of the solution. When they follow the orders of the establishment, as some clearly do, in order to discredit the truth, then we're all in trouble. No one is safe from attack. The Bible says righteousness exalts a nation, but sin condemns any people, and sin has its consequences. This is Pastor Dave Lewis at the Cub Hill Bible Presbyterian Church.
Now, Gary Stein on sports. This was Trevor Rogers after his last start against the Red Sox.
It's just, you know, frustrating on my end that I just can't really go deep into games right now and give my team a chance. But, you know, I just got to stay within my process, stay disciplined in what I need to do, and, it'll turn around.
But not anytime soon, with the Birds placing Rogers on the injured list yesterday. 15 days with an undisclosed illness, not eligible to return until May 11th. We'll get more clarity perhaps this morning when manager Albernez meets the media before today's doubleheader at Camden Yards. Chris Bassett starting game one at 12:35, and Brandon Young taking the hill in game two. It'll be the second start in a row for Young, who has gotten used to being the proverbial yo-yo of the Orioles pitching staff.
That's life for the position I'm in, but I wouldn't trade it for anything else. I mean, being up here, contributing to a team win up here, I mean, it means the world. It's awesome.
Cade Povich will likely take Rogers' turn tomorrow night against the Yanks. Meanwhile, more and more, the national media recognizing the value of the Ravens' fourth-round pick, Elijah Surratt, wide receiver out of Indiana. Originally from Baltimore, prepped at St. Francis Academy, Surratt's specialty is back shoulder and contested catches. His basketball background, a big plus.
Yeah, I love basketball. It was my first sport. Just playing different sports. Any different sport, I feel like it kind of translates into somehow a different sport. Like soccer, it helps you feet. Basketball, just body movements, body control. I feel like it helps you a lot on the field. And just with the contested catches, with me running routes, just being on balance if someone's trying to push me and stuff like that.
And finally, what does a guy like Matt Hibner actually do after he's drafted by the Ravens? Hibner, the tight end out of Michigan, picked by Baltimore in the fifth round, number 133 overall, was raised in a disciplined environment.
I love to be kind of in a regiment. That's kind of just the way that my whole family was raised. Yeah, my father, he did a great job of instilling that. My mom, too. I mean, she told me all the time just this week, like, well, no one else is going to do it, so I'm going to keep you grounded. Like, I was mowing the lawn yesterday.
Hibner from Burke, Virginia, went to Lake Braddock High School, one of two tight ends selected by the Ravens to replace Isaiah Likely and Charlie Kohler. Coming up in 30 minutes, it's a double dip for the Orioles today. And that is Stein on Sports.
Annapolis is crumbling and taking your hard-earned dollars with it. Westmore and the Democrats are destroying our economy, driving up energy prices, prioritizing criminals over victims, and destroying our communities. I'm Shirai Youssefi, and I'm running for delegate in Harford County because we need fighters in Annapolis who will hold Westmore and the Democrats accountable. I'm Shirai Youssefi, and as your delegate, I will fight for policies that prioritize fiscal responsibility, affordability, public safety, and investment in our communities. Vote Shirai Youssefi for delegate on June 23rd, 2026, and visit YousefiForDelegate.com for more information. Paid for by the Committee to Elect Shirai Youssefi. Treasurer Andrew Horbach.
Your Fox 25 forecast. A bright and mostly sunny day. Little breezy with winds gusting from the northwest at 20 to 25 miles an hour. Highs still manage to reach the mild upper 60s. Mostly clear and chilly tonight as lows dip back into the low 40s. Turning mostly cloudy on Friday with highs in the mid 60s. We are tracking a chance for some scattered showers now by Friday evening and for the first part of Friday night. From the Fox 45 Weather Authority, I'm meteorologist Amy Aronson for Talk Radio 680 WCBM.
Hair volume from New Nordic will make your hair look thick and healthy. Hair volume is available online at Amazon and NewNordicUSA.com or in the hair care aisle at your local CVS.
From Cockeysville to Sykesville, from Churchville to Crownsville, this is the right choice for Maryland.
Talk Radio 680 WCBM.
All right, we're talking about the 10-year-old that carjacked an individual in Parkville. How do you explain that to your insurance company? It's not even funny. It's not funny. You know what? It's also interesting. As I was taking Olivia to school, you know my daughter's 9 years old. She's in the back seat. Of course, we were listening in, and we heard this headline being talked about at that point in time. And Olivia, her ears perked up, and she was like, 10 years old? Who can drive at 10 years old? And I said, probably not this 10-year-old. That's why he crashed the car. And it's just so interesting because I look at my innocent daughter who, like, the worst thing that she's done is eat hot Cheetos when she was told not to. And now like, she's listening to the news, and she's like, you can see her face. She was like a complete shock that a 10-year-old would carjack someone. Let's see. We got a couple of calls on the line here, and then I will go to your text as well. I got Ed in Edgewood. Hey, Ed, how are you?
I'm doing great, Kim. How are you?
I'm doing well. I can't believe that 10-year-olds are now carjacking people.
Oh, I am not surprised. They're getting younger and younger every day. The issue is the child abuse law. Okay? Even if this child is sent home and her mom raises their voice at this child, that's verbal abuse. That's child abuse. All right? And they can be in trouble for that. Their child be sent to DHS or whatever. There's going to be quite some time before we can ever get a hold on this. The child abuse laws need to change. I understand. I was abused when I was a child. I got my ass whipped with a coat hanger. Excuse my French. And straightened me right out. Okay? Holding the parents accountable. Again, you know, who's raising the child? Is it grandmama? You know, is she 68? She can't know where the child is all the time. It's a very, very complicated ordeal. We need some smarter people thinking up some ideas. We can put a man on the moon, but we can't figure this out.
That's a good point there, Ed. That's a really good point.
You know?
Yeah.
Okay, and to the Key Bridge, thing, all right? We just had a company that bailed or got fired or whatever. What has been done? I mean, from what I understand, they were going to build a smaller bridge so they can build a bigger bridge. How do you do that in the main port of a channel? All right?
Yeah.
That's ridiculous. It's impossible. Is that where the money went? How much money has already been paid in? All right? And where is the money now? Where is it sitting now? Governor Westmore has no intentions on building this bridge and his being here in Maryland State. He's going to be long gone before that bridge has even begun to be built. You know, the Empire State Building was built in 1 year? And we can't build a simple bridge from this side to that? Easy peasy, man. You got to get rid of these people.
Yeah.
It's the people that are holding the power. The power controls the money, and the money's gone.
Yep. Well said, Ed. Well said. Thank you so much. Hope you have a great weekend.
That's what we need you here for.
Thank you. I wish I could get elected.
You too.
Thank you so much. Yeah, no, great points there. And, you know, a little bit on the money piece, too. How much has this contractor been paid? From my understanding, they were just supposed to do phase one. I have not seen a price tag with phase one. I don't know if you guys saw one, but I have not seen one. I'll continue to look. We're talking about the 10-year-old carjacker that crashed the car in Baltimore City. The carjacking happened in Parkville, and he had a 12-year-old friend in the passenger seat. The sad part about this is because of the way the laws are, they just took the 10-year-old and 12-year-old home, really. They said that they arrested the 12-year-old, but they couldn't actually talk to the 12-year-old because of the child interrogation laws that are in place. And you just saw in Annapolis this session, we talked about it, with Senator Will Smith at the front of the charge. They're now charging these juveniles as juveniles only, even if they commit adult crimes like this one. And so this is not going to get any better. As it gets warmer outside, this is going to get worse. So hold on to your hats. I've got Steve. Steve, are you still in the Beltway?
Yes, I am.
All right, be careful. There's little carjackers out there the size of leprechauns, all right? I need you to be careful.
Yes, to get back to the subject matter, I basically have a couple questions. First off, the stupid law that they have regarding not questioning a juvenile, suppose it was a federal crime, because the federals do not have to abide by their silly rules.
Right, right.
And the second part of it is, I realize that grandma may be raising the child, but whoever is legally responsible for the child, they should be charged themselves with child neglect at a minimum, if not responsible for their actions.
Yeah.
Lock up the parents. Lock up the parents.
Yeah, and I think State's Attorney Ivan Bates, you know, he talked about wanting to do that before, and then he had the General Assembly kind of jump in the way with this, you know, juvenile justice reform stuff, and it's making it very difficult. But, you know, that's the question of the day today. You know, should the parents be held accountable if you can't hold the minors accountable? You say yes then, Steve, yeah?
Yeah, and on the federal end of it, just suppose that a young carjacker, say, for instance, tried to carjack an ICE vehicle. You know, an unmarked ICE vehicle. And, you know, it's a federal crime then.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
So are they still not allowed to question them?
You know, that would be interesting to see. You know, Steve, I haven't seen that situation, but look, if those kids in Parkville, if they would have gone, and I don't know how they carjacked the person either. Did they use a weapon? You know, we don't even know if this kid had a gun. But if they had a gun and they would have crossed state lines, then yeah, that would change the conversation to a federal one. And I have to say, Steve, I don't know the answer to that.
Right, and it would be a bad thing if somebody ends up killing one of these kids who were carjacking them.
Yeah.
You know, somebody's got a legal carry, and they certainly would be justified, in my mind.
Yo, in my mind, for sure. For sure. Great points there, Steve. Thank you so much. Hope you have a great weekend.
You too.
Thank Bye-bye. You. Great points, yeah. I mean, if they go across state lines, then I would think it's a wrap, right? I don't know. Let's go ahead and get back to the phone lines. I got my friend Meadow in White Marsh. Meadow, hopefully you're being safe over there. White Marsh is getting a little dangerous.
Oh, yeah, I know, but you know, Kim, we got something for him. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I do know. I do know. Can you believe there's a 10-year-old carjacker?
I wish a blank would do that, but actually I don't. It's just crazy. It's crazy, and then it's not even, you're just like, oh, that's what's happening today, because it happens all the time. I had an idea, like, with the Towson Town Center and other areas, malls, whatever, the avenue. How about if we put a police officer at each entrance with a metal detector and you have to show ID? Or you can't get in. And then you got cameras there and taking pictures of them. Just an idea. But I don't think, have we ever tried that?
We haven't.
Months or?
No. And they'll probably tell us that they don't have the resources. That's what.
Right.
That's their favorite word.
Right. And it's beyond belief, but it just continues and it's allowed to continue. And but I do have something very positive I want to tell you.
Okay.
I met with your buddy, Rod, me and Mrs. Metal, met with Rod yesterday, Rod Widsat, the attorney.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, man, he hooked us up. We have our wills. We have our powers.
Nice.
Because a lot of people don't realize you have your will, but you're married. You still have to have, the wife and the husband have to have power of attorney for medical and financial.
Right.
Not know that.
Right.
And then there's a thing, right, and I didn't know that. Another thing, so we have our house, we have our investments. If I die, it all goes to Mrs. Metal. She dies, it goes to me. When I die or she die, whatever, it's because wills are really just for the survivor. I didn't know that either. So then that would go to her sister, and then it would be passed down to her son if she passed, you know, before, whatever. But it was very interesting, and he is such a cool guy, and I feel so great to have him, like, essentially on our side now, you know?
Yeah. No, Roddy is a good guy. He really is.
He spoke very highly of you, and, well, you know, everybody does, but I want to thank you.
Well, I think my ex-husband makes him say that kind of stuff there, but I'm just kidding. Roddy's so good. Yeah. He is great. I'll let him know that you called in.
Yeah, that's awesome. So, but these kids, what are we going to do, Kim? I don't know.
I don't know. They need their butts beat. I don't know. Metal, thank you so much for calling in.
You can't do that anymore. You can't do that anymore.
Crazy. I know. Have a good weekend, Metal. Thank you.
You too. See ya.
Thank you. Yeah. Look, I understand, and we've had this conversation a million times about the child abuse stuff. I get it. But, I mean, what are you going to do? Are you going to let your kid run around like this and being menaces to society? I told you guys before, I have a friend. He does not discipline his son. His son is, like, in my view, out of control, right? I mean, he's on the trajectory to be the most ridiculous teenager you ever would meet. And you can see it. It's obvious. But his dad is like, oh, he's just young. And it's like, I'm like, no, actually, your kid's kind of a jerk, you know? But it's interesting because I think some parents, you know, they might think that their kid is, you know, just in a phase and they're going to grow out of it. And then they get old enough to really, you know, be in a situation where the parent can't control them at all. And then you kind of miss the boat, right? It's like you got to get a hold of these kids when they're young. A 10-year-old carjacking somebody? I mean, come on. This is embarrassing. It's a shame. And the parents probably don't feel ashamed at all. Let's be honest. I got a text here. It says, Kim, I'll straight up kill a child criminal if that is trying to use a weapon in a crime against me or my people. Enough is enough, and it was months ago. Yeah, that's another problem. And I know, one of our callers just asked, you know, what happens when one of these kids ends up getting killed? And you're going to have a lot of the parents come out forward, and they're going to say, I can't believe they killed my baby. And then the victim most likely will be doxxed, and then you'll have, you know, it'll be a nightmare. And then what if the cops are engaged in this situation? What if they had a chase after that car with the 10-year-old and the 12-year-old? And the 10-year-old gets out of the car with a gun. I mean, could you imagine if the police officer then has to take care of the 10-year-old with his gun? Oh, there'll be riots everywhere. Why the legislators would set us up like this, I don't know. But this goes all the way back to, why are people still voting for these Democrats that are allowing this with their ridiculous policies? I got Chris in Westminster. Hey, Chris.
Hi, Kim. I just got to clarify something from yesterday you were talking about. It's very pertinent to what's happening today. You were talking about these juveniles getting arrested, and before DHS can even do the paperwork on them, they're releasing them, and you're talking about a cash app that Brandon's got instituted a program. He gives them cash for not doing crimes.
Right, the sidestep program. Yep.
Yeah. Can you? Where'd you get this source from?
Yeah.
If you could elaborate on that a little more.
Right. No. Sure. Thank you, Chris, for asking about that. So, if you go to Chris, are you still there?
Yes.
Okay, yeah. So even right now on Fox 45 website, if you just put in Monse, M-O-N-S-E, right, the Mayor's Office of Neighborhood Safety Engagement, they were at a council hearing in front of Baltimore City Council. And the chairman of that committee is Mark Conway. And he was asking about the Inspector General investigation and the Cash App documents that have been redacted. And that's the reason why the Inspector General is having a hard time doing her investigation. Well, we found out because she was asked a question, Stephanie Mavronis, the director of Monse, we found out that they were taking, you know, the police were taking these kids into the intake center at DJS, and they called it a sidestep program because there would be somebody there from the Monse office that would then take that kid instead of allowing DJS to go forward with filing the report. So they would pick the kid with them in Monse, and then they would put them in this program, and they would basically say, okay, little boy, please make us a promise that you will never do this again. And so now we have a bunch of juveniles out here, Chris, that should have even more on their criminal records, even though we can't see them. They should have more on their criminal records, but because they went in that sidestep program, we don't even know some of the heinous crimes that they've done, and we will never know.
Unbelievable.
Yeah,
unbelievable.
No, it's yeah. And people are wondering, you know, how much of that program is even legal? And I think that's why the Inspector General is investigating, because it sounds like this was an illegal concept. I don't know how the mayor's office got away with this for so long.
Well, I hope Fox 45 really puts a hammer down on them.
Yeah,
It really makes this, because this is the first I've heard of that, and this is unbelievable.
Yeah.
Unbelievable.
I know.
Thank you very much.
Thanks, Chris. Thank you. I know. It is. It's wild. It's wild when you think about it. And Mackenzie Frost, she was the reporter that had that latest report. Chris, if you're still listening, again, if you go to Fox 45's website, just put in Monse, M-O-N-S-E. And we didn't play the entire report here on the air because it's about 6 or 7 minutes long. But as Stephanie Mavrotis was answering questions, and that was the first time I've heard of it, I didn't realize that they weren't even filing the paperwork. I didn't realize that part of it until Councilman Mark Conway asked a question. I had no idea. I got Keith in Rosedale. Oh, Keith, are you there?
Yes, I am, Kim. Good morning.
Good morning.
Okay. We've got problems here in the state of Maryland. It starts with the state legislature and with the juvenile problem. All right. When I was young, we had the Charles Hickey School, the Maryland Training School for Boys, and right where I lived in Reisterstown was Montrose, which is now an Army National Guard base called Camp Frederick. But it was for both male and female juvenile delinquents. And the problem is we don't need to hold parents or grandparents or aunts and uncles accountable. We need to hold these young thugs accountable, okay? And we need more of these types of places for juvenile delinquents, and we need to give them at least 6 months in detention, because when we arrest them, or the police arrest them, and then 2 hours, 3 hours later, they are released back into the custody of either their parents or their guardians, they do not learn anything. They need to be taught a lesson. And it actually starts with the state legislature, where they have to stop passing these stupid laws that will release these thugs back into the community.
Yeah, I agree with you 100% there, Keith. I'm coming up on a break, but hopefully they'll get the message. But I agree, these kids need to be held accountable, and those schools are you know, sometimes they are the answer. Keith, thank you so much for calling in. I hope you have a great weekend.
Can I say one more quick thing, Kim?
Sure.
Westmore going on Bill Maher's show last week, that was a smokescreen. He was out there with Gavin Newsom about the so-called high-speed rail line. And he was talking with Gavin about how can I delay the Key Bridge rebuild and still make the kind of money that you people out here were making on it.
You never know. Could have been a conversation. Keith, thank you so much. We'll continue this conversation when we get back real quick. Spring is here, and it's time to get moving, exploring, and enjoying whatever activity awaits you this season. But if stiff, achy joints are holding you back, I want you to listen up. Glyco Plus is your ultimate joint health companion. It's an advanced blend formulated specifically by Rescue Natural Supplements to help keep your joints flexible and moving comfortably. And right now, listeners can buy one, get one free with the code RELIEF. Powered by patented collagen and a research-backed greenlit muscle complex, Glyco Plus supports healthy cartilage and actually helps to cushion joints for smoother movement and reduce stiffness, promoting better overall mobility. You're going to notice over time. Go to res-q.com and use the code RELIEF to buy one bottle of Glyco Plus and get one free. You can also call a product consultant at 1-800-26-ALIVE. That's 1-800-262-5483. Start embracing an active life with comfort today. Shop Glyco Plus at res-q.com with the code RELIEF.
If your home is a bit dated, one of the best things you can do is renovate prior to selling. But how do you pay for it? I'm Sean Holden, owner of Renovation Real Estate. Let Renovation.Real Estate take care of everything for you. We handle the upfront costs, complete the renovations, then list your home for sale. You don't pay for renovations until closing. No gimmicks, just results. Imagine using our money to raise the value of your property without any upfront expense. Call today at 410-724-1199 or visit us at Renovation.Real Estate. We fix it, we sell it, you profit. MHIC 118-795.
Retirement, it's almost here. Are you ready? Join Mike DePaula and Sarah Flora of Flora and DePaula Wealth Partners for SWAT, Retirement Strategy Hour. Saturdays at 2 on Talk Radio 680 WCBM. Investment advisory services made available through AE Wealth Management LLC, a registered investment advisor.
Hey guys, it's Carson. Thursday on the show. My goodness, what a week. Comey's been indicted. A Fauci associate is indicted. Zohran Mamdani's failing. Racial gerrymandering shut down by the Supreme Court. All we need now is a Jimmy Kimmel firing. We will see. Noon to 3 on WCBM.
Hear the news, then talk about it at the top and bottom of every hour throughout the day. Breaking news, stimulating talk, only on Talk Radio 680 WCBM and 99.9 FM in Harford County.
All right, we're wrapping up the conversation here on juvenile crime because, of course, we're talking about the 10-year-old that carjacked an individual in Parkville. We still have no answers to who the victim was. I don't even know what kind of car it was. Did you catch that part? I don't even know what he took. No kind of car. I don't know if he had a weapon when he carjacked this individual. We don't have any of these answers because of the laws that are currently on the books. I've got my friend William McCarty. William, want to weigh in?
Yes, Kim. The government of the Democrat Party and whoever voted for all this for the children, that is child abuse of the state and local government, wouldn't you say?
Absolutely.
All right. So why can't people wake up in the neighborhood of the Democrat Party on both sides, white, black, whatever nationality you are, or that legal, and keeps on voting for these people? And it's always a race card. They took history. They took critical thinking out of schools, and they got them like drones of thinking, and they stole their spiritual personality within their self, of their holiness, of their gifted talent that they have, but they're being suppressed. And why don't the Republican Party, I know Mitch McConnell dragged a lot of them down into depression at the time, and then Trump came along and people started coming back to life. Thank God for Trump. And God put him there in my way of thinking for us. So, how's that sound?
It sounds like a better plan than we have here, William. Thank you so much for calling in. I hope that you have a great weekend. You know, just to kind of wrap this conversation up, I got a lot of text messages. Sorry I didn't get to all of them today, but many of you do want to see parents held accountable. Don't forget to go to WCBM.com, take part in a poll question of the day. Should parents of criminals be charged when the minor is too young to be held responsible? Yes or no? Go ahead and cast your vote, and we'll get the results tomorrow. Real quick, tomorrow we'll also have Delegate Ryan DeRocky. He had a lot of back and forth on his page. Right now, you might have seen Baltimore County is now discussing expanding transit to the rural communities such as Jacksonville, Moncton, Hereford, and Kingsville. If you live in any of those areas, you want to join us in this conversation tomorrow with Ryan DeRocky at 9:35 a.m. As always, Brian, the producer, thank you for a great show. I will talk to all of you hopefully at 9 o'clock tomorrow morning. Tell all your friends so we can be on the top 100 list.
WCBM reaches all types of entrepreneurs, businesses, associations, and specialists. Now is your chance to explain live, by the way of your own radio show, exactly how your business or association can benefit the WCBM listener through your own show. You control the dialogue. You control the subject matter. You control your own results. This is a great opportunity that WCBM can give to you. For more information, call Andy Grimshaw or visit WCBM.com.
I'm Kim Klasick. I want to introduce you to my friend and a great patriot, Rod Winstead. Rod is a United States Naval officer and has been practicing law in Maryland for 33 years.
Hey, thanks, Kim. It's attorney Rod Winstead. You know, I've been advertising with you for some time now, but I want your listeners to know that I can help them with many different legal matters. I advertise here because I want to help your listeners with affordable legal representation. Again, when you call me, you get me.
Call 410-525-WILL. That's 410-525-WILL today to schedule a free consultation.
This is the right choice for Maryland.
Talk Radio.